Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Thank you!
We cannot let terrorists and rogue nations hold this nation hostile or hold our allies hostile.
Prisons like Abu Ghraib, the frankly mood of the world would have been astounded. And my speech to the nation, whatever you want to call it.
Nobody can threaten this country. Oh, they may be able to bomb a buildings.
Let me speak with the American people about the situation in Iraq. This has been tough weeks in that country.
We say to seniors, we understand how important prescription drug coverage. So prescription drugs will be an integral part of the Medicare plan.
Some of the other members of the crew are here as well. Where are they, Robbie? Where are the members of your crew? Well, they must have couldn't pass the security check.
Cut the jibber jabber.
Get ready for some hot fun. Wednesday, October 18th, the Don and Mike Reno-style show returns to Hooters of Rockville, 1471 Rockville Drive. Hot fun. Come enjoy the scenery as you feast your eyes on the tempting, beautiful, voluptuous figure of the entire Don and Mike crew. Delicious Don, mouth-watering Mike, audacious Bud, red-hot Rob, and John and Joe, your joy boy. The fun starts at 8 p.m., so come out and revel in their sexiness. Oh, yeah, and the Hooters girls are pretty, too. Don and Mike at Hooters of Rockville. We'll see you there, baby. Buzz Burbank is certified clean. Medical documentation on file. Thank you.
Welcome to the nationally syndicated Don and Mike Show, where we always give you the laughs you need on the air. Starring a man whose agent isn't vigorous, and he invites you to come use his pool anytime. It's Michael Thorpe as the tightest DJ in America, Don Geronimo. And he sits and really works it a lot. He's the inventor of the world-famous Lil Mikey Burger, and he can have a panic attack at any moment. He's Michael Sean Patrick O'Mara, and Mike O'Mara, with sexy, winningest newsies ever to grace a glass-closed room. He makes men cry and women swoon. It's Michael Nelson and Junior Apprentice producer. He's a wife-beating Nazi and a real-life Donkey Kong. It's Robert Wadham Beeswax. Also featuring an Agent Stone who has many parameters and the best late British actor around. It's the world's oldest phone screener, Lone Joe Hardinger. Episode of Don and Mike is brought to you by Mark. Now, coming to you guys from the world down from my headquarters in Toxic Rockville, Maryland. Now, content is rich Corinthian reverb. Here's Don and Mike! Oh, I'm here for a
tell that was made by one of our loyal listeners.
No. You know, you can never miss with a nice New Orleans style beat. You never can miss with it.
Wow.
Hey. My God.
877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
I just felt like some cult jam.
I love it. Is this Lisa Lisa?
Yeah, cult jam.
Hello.
Here's the rhythm, Rob.
Right here.
I love cult jam with peanut butter.
Yum, yum.
Thank you, Song.
Are you thinking you might want to have sex with me?
Hello.
Look, the key for me is to keep expectations low.
Right.
Cut the jibber jabber.
Whoa, look out, sit down.
Yeah. Okay. Hi, Donna Mike.
Whoa, look out, sit down.
And now, ladies and gentlemen.
Boy, what an intro.
And you can tell by the smell.
It sure is the Don and Mike Show.
And it's a new episode, everybody, on this Wednesday.
Wednesday.
And it's October 4th, 2006.
You just heard the phone number. It works from anywhere in North America, including Canada. 877-365-3636.
And if you want to hear us on your computer, go to our website, dotandmikewebsite.com. Click on Listen Live.
Our webmaster,
Yanni, is back today.
Yes, he is. Welcome back, John.
Yep.
He was number one. He was going number one, and BDs were coming out. Ouch. He's still hurting a little bit today.
Really? How can you tell?
Look good.
Isn't that pretty much the standard John Norman look?
No, it's really not. I mean, he's normally angry and bitter. Today, he's angry, bitter, and hurting.
Yeah.
He just has that look on his face, you know? And he's a little peaked. He's a little more peaked than he normally is. He looks a little more powderish than he normally looks.
Looks to me like he's been in a spa. I mean, he actually looks rejuvenated from when
you
he was
think
here.
So?
From when he was here last week. Well, you don't see him as much as I do. You don't see during the show the despondent body.
You're right. I don't look at him during the show. I look over
his shoulders.
I look over occasionally, but I made one of the rare trips to the back of the office here in Classic Rockville today. And I asked him how he was doing, and he looked like he was in a little bit of pain.
Yeah. Well, I commiserate with him, and we're glad to have him back.
Aren't you and I in pain every day, though?
Well, Mike, as our good friend Sam Huff says, and he also says, you got to know the difference between being injured and being hurt.
Yeah.
And I've never figured out which is the one that you're supposed to play with.
No. Supposed to play with being hurt.
Yeah, that would be it.
Yeah.
Sam has trouble.
I mean, doesn't that make sense?
Yeah. That would be it. Yeah, good choice.
Doesn't Sam have trouble with a lot of differences?
Well, or wait, maybe I'm wrong.
No, you're right. Because if you're injured,
that sounds right.
You can't play. But if you're hurt, if you're hurt, it's like you got an owie. You got
if you had just a little injury. No, injured is a bad one.
Injured
means you can't come on the field.
Injured means some guy stepped on your face.
Injured means you can do a broadcast and you say a lot of stupid things.
Right.
And that guy who had a face stepped on, there you go. That guy's going to play this week.
Yeah, I read his press release. In his press release, he said, well, it's right here in the sports section, I am not an animal.
You can email us during the show with our man, Yanni, back there.
He's not disfigured in any way, though. He's walking around with a canvas bag over his head.
DonandMikeWebsite.com. That's how you can email us during the show, and we're also available for you on iTunes. I only wish that we could share with you the joy that I'm now able to bring the boys and myself before the show every day.
Yes.
Because with our new phone system, we can disguise where we're calling from.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I just access, yellowpages.com, yellowbook.com, whatever it is, for all over America.
Right.
For restaurants, for hotels. And none of this being done on the air. They're prank calls.
Just for fun.
You know, they're calls that always start like this. They pick up the phone and go, you know, Holiday Inn.
Like that.
You know, like that. Or, like, they go, Hello, Comfort Inn.
Hello. Used a lot of him today.
Yes, hi. Can I help you?
What's your name?
That seemed to get a hang-up more than anything else.
Yeah,
the what's your name? Click.
Yeah.
But we did have a couple of people that sit through.
Say hi to my old friend.
Can you strap on. Can you play the one that made me a little uncomfortable when you were on the phone with the restaurant?
Yes, sir. I am Mike.
Okay, so we go through this progression.
I want you to repeat after me.
And the guy on the phone at some hotel like in San Francisco says, yes? And I go,
I am Mike O'Mara's boss.
Did you hear me from upstairs?
I did. I heard the rumbling as Mike comes running downstairs because he's hearing this on the intercom. You know, all they are really are prank calls.
Right.
Yeah, now we were talking about the fact that we, I guess if we went through kind of a process, we might be able to put some of the good ones on the air.
Get the permission, like yesterday.
Just like Cops does, right?
Yes. As a matter of fact, we'll give a shout out right now. A big Dynamite shout out to the Lido's Pizza.
Yeah.
Up by the border in Ocean City, the Lido's Pizza in Ocean City, Maryland, by the Delaware border. We've called there just about every day for the last 2 weeks.
Because they're good subjects.
And yesterday we had a guy on the phone who was talking to Dr. Phil.
For a while.
And
having a very spirited discussion with Dr. Phil.
All that this employee would say was, F you.
Right.
Because he knew that it was somebody just dicking with him on the phone.
Yeah, and he was kind of having fun with it on his own. Well, it didn't really sound like he was having fun with it because he was monotone when he would just go, F you.
Yeah.
F you.
It would be like,
F you.
It would be,
I'm a funny guy, but I don't think that's funny.
F you.
Shut the F up.
F you.
What are you, a moron?
F you.
But these people stay on the phone with these
guys. It's really best when they stay on. And they stay on for a variety of reasons. Sometimes they're annoyed. Sometimes they stay on because they're bored. Sometimes they stand because they're curious. It's just a lot of fun.
I really wish we could present them to you.
It'd be great if you could do it live, but you can't do that.
We can't do it. You got to get people's permission to call them. But maybe we should just start rolling tape, and then afterwards call these places and say, yeah, like with Lido's Pizza. You know,
congratulations.
We'll give your business a plug.
Yeah, if you put it in the right framework, I think anybody would. Congratulations. You are the Dynamite prank call of the day, and we'd like your permission to put it on the air. And they will probably think it's something special.
Mm-hmm.
And throw a little biscuit in for them or something, you know?
Like it a lot.
A comb. Give them a plastic comb.
It's a lot of fun.
What say you?
Yeah. And we had one guy at a hotel. We had the guy at the hotel today, a bed and breakfast in the Bay Area, where it was, I guess, about 12 noon, right before 12 noon we were calling. A guy who would just answer every single thing.
Red. Just like a fire truck.
Oh, really?
Red and angry.
Is it really?
Are these the only wines you have by the glass?
What can I do for you, sir?
I am tall. Do you like tall men?
Sir, can I help you? Most people were, sir, can I help you?
Maybe we could go out for a drink or something.
Who's calling, please?
Pipe down. I like it discreet.
Sir, can I help you?
Say hi to my old friend. The strap-on.
That's the tape. That's the tape that stopped him up.
Right, today. Yeah.
He said,
so to speak.
Yeah, he said, say hi to who?
Say hi to my old friend. The strap-on.
Say hi to who?
Say hi to my old friend. The strap-on.
All right, Mr. Strap-on.
He likes you.
Delightful.
So that's some fun we had before the show today.
And you got all those, you know, at your fingertips now that you can take it in any direction with any human being you want to use.
God, it is great to prank call.
Yeah.
It really is.
It's like, this is like prank calling state-of-the-art, you know, space-age prank calling because you've got 700 of these, 7,000 of these different voices. You can use anything. You switch from Larry.
Are
Dr.
you a prostitute?
You know, it's not like the old days when we just had to call and say, do you have Prince Albert in a can?
Yeah, let him out for some air.
Right.
Maybe we should start taping those, because a lot of those are airworthy. Even though you've heard those tapes on the show presented like we present them here.
Right.
When you hear some sucker really go for it all the way.
And the best, of course, would be someone has a meltdown and then they agree to, to come on the air.
And again, we'll say the Lido's Pizza. This is just F you, F you, F you, F you.
It's delightful.
F you, F you. Before we actually start the show today, and we've not actually started it, I know Rob would like to say something, and this is kind of serious, so bear with us for a second. Rob's very beloved grandfather, Big Daddy, passed away.
Grandfather that he lived with for how many years, Rob? 10 years. 10 years.
The background on this that Rob won't tell you is that for at least the last 10 years, he's lived with Rob. Right. And when we kid Rob a lot of times on the air about how he never leaves his house, a lot of times he doesn't leave his house because someone's got to be there to watch over Big Daddy. This is not something that just happened today. These events started to happen over the weekend.
Yeah, Rob's been dealing with this for several days now, and
we're all, you know, very sad.
This is not a normal. Yeah, you know, a lot of people are close to their grandparents. This is a much different situation. This was somebody that lived with Rob every single day for 10 years, day in, day out. Rob was really the caretaker for this wonderful guy,
and Carrie as well. I mean, I don't want to take all
and Carrie too, sure. But it's just it's a different. I just want to separate this from the average grandfather situation.
In many ways, he was almost like a dad to me. Not to belittle or diminish my own father, but my parents divorced when I was young, and I spent a lot of time in that house, that very house where I live in now, growing up.
Right,
and he was always there, not just for me. He had 8 kids.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And a lot of times I felt very much like the 9th.
Wow, 8 kids.
Yeah, and 7 of them turned out great. Sorry, Sam. Kidding, Sam.
All right. But dig at somebody in the family,
Sam, I am.
But just a few things I'd like to say about him. Because, you hear, and I hate to say this even because it's jive, but when you hear the phrase the greatest generation, and it's been overused over the past 5 years or so, but when I look at what he did, he would have been 92 next week. And he's had basically a 7th grade education. That's as far as he made it.
Right.
Because that's when he had to start working. And he got his start. And it's surreal when you think that this guy who was living now in the age of cell phones and TiVo and all the stuff we just take for granted, his job at 14 was to get in a truck and deliver coal in the winter and deliver ice in the summer because there was no electricity.
Right.
There was no heat. That's how he got his start. He did whatever school he could. He served in World War II.
Lived through the Depression. Right.
Oh, and I mean, just an amazing stories about the struggles that they had to go through.
Mm-hmm.
He made it to an officership in World War II. He actually took a piece of shrapnel on a shooting range, but he never put in for a Purple Heart. He could have, but he said, yeah, you know what, that's not really worth it. I didn't really earn that.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of a good example of the kind of guy he was. He would build up everyone around him, and he would step in the background. He was so generous with everything. He would, at his own sacrifice, give, if it was money, if it was just a shoulder to lean on or something, he was always there. And, not just 8 kids, but 8 kids who are married and had kids. And those kids had married. And, I've given him 2 great grandkids. And to live there and for us to live in his house with him is just, it's staggering. And it's surreal now that he's gone. And he's just always been there for so many people. His life, I don't want to get dark and I don't want to get, morbid because he's dead. But just so many things that he took care of in his life. With his 7th grade education, and after serving in the war, he came back, he took a few classes, he opened up a business. He ran a furniture store for 40 years in Falls Church. I've not even said his name yet. William Stalka. William Guy Stalka.
He literally had to ask you what his name was because I never knew him from you as anything else but Big Daddy.
To me, he was always Big Daddy. He was my mom's dad. And he ran this business, and I know that everyone in my family and everyone who had friends of the family, when they got married since 1960, they would have been sitting on the floor if it weren't for his very, very easy payment plans. No one ever went without. He would let them come in. He would, set them up with furniture. If they were late with the payment, it was no big deal. Again, sacrificing of himself. We were talking in the hospital over the weekend. We're really not sure with the amount of money he made how he raised 8 kids. But somehow he did it, and they were fantastic. He was, again, this sounds like I'm making this up, but it's true, pro bowler. And amongst all this, he was a professional bowler, ranked 4th in the nation in 1956.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and you had to wonder where I got my athleticism.
And Rob is a very weird cocktail of combinations of influences by both his mom, Sharon, and his dad, Bob, and Big Daddy. I only knew him personally like 10 years. And you would agree to this. I say this with love. He's a ball buster.
Oh, he is a pisser. He was a pisser.
Every time that I would go to see him, even before Robert was born, and Julia was born, it would always be, oh, you're that guy. You're that guy. And
he used to talk about that on the air.
He would just bust balls, but even he I remember when I saw him right after Frida died.
Right.
When I was over at your house with your family. That's when Big Daddy cracked for me.
Right.
You know, at
right.
that moment, he said, I am very, very sorry.
Right.
And as a matter of fact, I had to ask somebody. I told my girlfriend this today. We were talking about Big Daddy. I said, I had to ask somebody when I was getting all the sympathy cards who this guy was.
Right.
Because same thing. I didn't know the name.
Yeah, the name again, Rob. So,
William Stalkup. And people, he lived in McLean. His business was in Falls Church. And anyone who has been in the area probably knows his name. He was one of the first businesses and sort of.
Do you remember the name of the furniture
William
store?
William Stalkup Furniture.
William Stalkup Furniture.
Yeah, very clever.
Okay.
No, but that's interesting.
That's what he did. He was right there on Route 7. And he was such a staple in the community. I mean, the kind of business that, you know, sponsored a little league team. They mm-hmm. sponsored a bowling team. He was active in his church and well liked by just about everybody. And
he was sharp.
The day he died, he was sharp.
You know, I would go over there, and a lot of times I would go to see Rob and the kids, and it would end up being Big Daddy and I sitting in the room with the TV on, and I wouldn't think that he would be tracking, and he would just say something.
And you'd know he was there the whole time.
Yeah, oh yeah, he would say, he'd be watching TV, or he would make a comment about something he had heard on the show, or mm-hmm. something that Rob had mentioned to him,
mm-hmm.
or even while Frida was alive. Sometimes he would say stuff to me like, Carrie and Frida would be talking. There'd just be silence in the room that I was sitting in with Big Daddy. And he would look at me and just, I remember one time he just said, she's pretty. I said, thank you. He said, what's she doing with you?
Yeah.
And it was not put as a question, right? Like a statement. What is she doing with you? And it was like no chance for me to make a comeback.
I'm sure that the guy, having a furniture store and the interaction and being a salesperson, mm-hmm. I mean, you had to have that gift. And so he was curmudgeon-y prior to this when he was running the furniture store? Was he a little gruff?
Tough and gruff,
right?
But I mean, with a heart of gold. And
right.
If you talk to anyone who has come into the family, and even Carrie will tell you this, the first initial thought when you met him is, I'm scared of this guy. Even
right.
if he's, you know, 80 years old,
true.
He was tough. He was a scrapper. I know that at age 80, he was still playing with fireworks. At age, at age 75,
great.
He tried to pick a fight with a guy. Now, this is true. A guy, he had just gotten a new station wagon, and a guy, an ambassador, an out-of-towner, had been drinking.
Rob gets a lot of his
viewpoints?
Yeah, from Big Daddy.
Yeah, a lot of the smart ones.
Yeah, he influences you a little bit.
He had swerved and hit this car.
Right.
And Big Daddy came out to confront him on it and kept telling him. Luckily, my dad happened by. He was on his way home and saw this going down. Big Daddy, I mean, just kept saying, you want to step out back? You want to step out back? He was ready to kick his ass. And that's pretty amazing. At age, up until he was about 87, he did a lot of farming as well. This
right.
is a holdover.
He used to talk about that he'd be out back and he'd be on his tractor in his mid-80s.
Still driving his tractor and doing great. The thing that I will always take away, and I hope this is something that I take from him, is he loved fun more than anybody that
mm-hmm.
you would ever meet.
Mm-hmm.
Most people, when they hit about age 85, if you had a bee's nest, you would hire an exterminator or maybe buy a can of Raid. Not Big Daddy. He'd get up about 5:45, gasoline and a match, and he'd pour it and he'd soak it and he would light it and he'd say, listen to him pop. The greatest. One of my first jobs, I guess my first job was I worked delivery for his furniture store.
Right.
And I pray that...
Is that where you learned all your retail stuff?
A lot of it, yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah. He has. I mean, that's an innate something.
Right.
I don't know how he got it, but I certainly got it from him. You, when you're delivering in this furniture store, and it was, you know, most of the time it was waiting around because you do your deliveries and then you're done.
Right.
Everybody at least once gets a boss this great. If things were quiet at the furniture store, he'd light off a firecracker. He would light a firecracker and throw it behind you just to see you jump. He would play golf around sort of the circuit of the furniture store. And I'm not talking about putting. I'm talking with a sandwich. And, I mean, these are things he loved to do. He loved to play cards. I get that from him. He would go to the horse races. He loved that. He was a great golfer. And another thing that I pull from him, he would bet on anything. I
right.
mean, and he bet on soap operas. He bet on, of course, sports and golf. He kind of invented a fantasy golf league before there was a fantasy golf league.
Right.
He would bet on, I mean, I've seen him bet on Perry Mason with my father. He would say, how long before the top of the hour before Paul Drake comes in? And it's usually like 5 minutes. 4 minutes was a smart bet, but 5 minutes. But he would bet on everything, and he just loved to have fun. He loved cartoons. He loved to laugh. He's sort of a living testimony that you're only young once, but you really never have to outgrow immaturity.
Mm-hmm.
And he would watch the same movies over and over again. And it was so much fun to sit and watch a cartoon with a guy who saw it when it came out in the theater.
Right.
He would call ahead to the movie theaters when he was dating my grandmother to find out which theater had the Bugs Bunny cartoons. This is a man with proper priorities. And anyway, it's very sad to lose him.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope that everyone that knows him can share this thought with me, is that take a piece of the joy with you, because that's what he'd want you to do.
Oh, good.
The hardest thing was telling my kids today.
Yeah.
Because they've, as long as they've been around,
right,
they've known Big Daddy. Or as Julia said, for some reason, Julia called him Cubby.
Cubby.
And then Robert called him Cub, because Cubby took too long. Hey,
right.
Cub!
Right.
So they knew he was in the hospital, and we knew he was really supposed, doctors said he won't make it past dinner time on Saturday.
Yeah, Don called me, I guess you called me Saturday morning or Sunday morning, I forgot what day, said that they gave him 12 hours.
Yeah, they found it.
He kind of quadrupled that, didn't he?
He never was good at taking directions. It was, they found an aortic aneurysm, and they really just gave him hours, and he lasted days.
Wow.
And it was an amazing thing to watch. I told my kids that he was sick, and he was very tired, mm-hmm. and that I was just going to the hospital. Well, he passed away, and I had to sit them down today.
Mm-hmm.
And Robert, I'm not sure, understood. Julia, who Robert is just turned four.
Mm-hmm.
Julia is about to turn six. She understood. And I told them, and they did okay. And I know that I'm very lucky to have known him and been in school. There are many people who don't ever get to know their grandparents.
Oh, absolutely.
True.
I'm proud that my kids knew him. And I will do everything in my power to make sure they remember him.
Mm-hmm.
And what the kind of guy he was and the example he set. But I want to leave, again, not on a down note, I want to leave with a little bit of joy, because God, those kids loved him, and he thought they walked on water. He mm-hmm. saw no fault in them, and Robert has his faults, and they were invisible to Big Daddy.
Wow.
But Robert's one question was Cubby olden? And I said, what? He said, was he olden? I said, you mean, was he old? I said, yeah. And I said, yes, he was olden. He says, well, he was a good man.
Says,
you're right, nice. Robert. And then I said to Julia, who was crying at this point, we all were, and I said, you know, you really shouldn't be sad, because for the past 2 years, Big Daddy's been in a wheelchair. And for someone who has lived such a long, strong life, that was hard on him.
Oh, sure.
And I said, you know, he's strong.
Mm-hmm.
He feels good. He can walk. He's with his wife and his friends that have mm-hmm. preceded him to heaven. And she said, but does he still have wrinkles?
Fair question.
I said, we'll have to wait and see. Mm-hmm. But
about your kids, you know, when I was talking with Carrie
mm-hmm.
over the weekend, I looked a lot of time.
Yeah, I bet. You know, you're Danger
Carrie.
Boy calling the house as many times as you did.
Well, you know, I'm concerned. And, mm-hmm. you know, she needs somebody to talk to. And she brought up the thing about discussing it with your kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I brought up a topic with her that I had never brought up with her before. I said, do they know about Frida?
Mm-hmm.
You know, do your kids know? She said, yeah, Julia does. And she said that Julia will say all the time, Mommy, is Frida looking down from heaven?
Mm-hmm.
And so they were thinking, I guess Rob and Carrie were thinking that, you know, obviously to make the next step would be, you know, to say, yes, Big Daddy is up in heaven looking as well. And then the thing that Carrie said that I thought was funny was that Julia equates Frida being in heaven, and now will equate, you know, Big Daddy being in heaven. She said that Robert, I think whenever you say heaven, Robert says that's where Elvis is.
Yeah.
And she said that Robert had asked her before, do you think Elvis is talking to Frida? Now,
You got one weird kid.
Well, yeah. You know, he's look at his dad.
I know.
Where the hell do you think that came from?
Rob is the influence of his dad and his mom.
Robert got
and
Elvis.
His daddy.
I mean, we're looking at the big head that gave him Elvis right there.
And Robert III now is the influence of his dad, Rob. Yeah. And don't think that the spices of Big Daddy are going to be something that are forgotten even on someone as young as Robert.
Yeah, I will see, too, that he is remembered. And another thing, we mentioned in passing that my mom had to have her dog put down a few weeks ago.
Otis?
Otis. He's a good boy.
He's a good boy, Otis.
And that's another thing is Robert said today, he says, Big Daddy's playing with Otis.
Sure.
I mean, it's positive, and Carrie handled it very well because I was, I've really not been myself since Saturday morning, not been thinking as straight as I'd like to. And Carrie said, we need to let them know this is not a bad thing. This is a good thing.
Right.
And that he is without pain and that he is much better now. So that's what I have to say.
You're a good man, Rob. You're a good man to Big Daddy. You treated him like a dad.
Right.
And he treated me like a son. So.
And he did. And you were good with him. And God damn it, everybody should know, all the sacrifices that you and Carrie have made.
Yeah.
Now, don't give me that. Don't give me that sign, because I'm not going to say anything bad.
Okay, I know, but
come on.
He gave me so much, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
I don't mean to get serious on everybody's ass, but I will for one second. Much like I said after Frieda passed away, we all have jobs on the show. Rob doesn't really hate everybody. One of the reasons I consider you my best friend is the way that you love your family.
That comes from
I admire
him.
That, and I know that comes from Big Daddy.
Of all his accomplishments, really, that's what he and his wife were proudest of, is that I put our family up against anybody.
Right.
And this morning, there could have been another funeral. We could have killed each other this morning trying to hash out details. But we got it through.
But let me just say this, because you won't say it and people should know. The stuff that you did beyond taking him up and downstairs and taking him to the doctor and going through the thing with the ambulance every time over the last 3 years, every time anything happened. And you can imagine washing, cleaning, bathing, changing, him getting sick, me being on the phone with Rob and him saying, Big Daddy's calling, I got to go.
Right,
I mean, I cannot tell you how many times that would happen. And
that's a grandchild.
And
think how rare that is, really, in this day and age, with what families have become, really. It's not the same as it used to be. And that is really, the one thing about you that is, you are the definition of an old soul. I swear to God, I think you were born in 1939, 1935. And really what you've done, I think, what I observe about it is you have lived life the way it used to be, where everybody kind of took care of the older people in their families. And, God, you've done it. And I think people should envy you to have that kind of a relationship with a grandparent.
Yeah.
You're right. So many people don't even get to know, don't even know their grandparents. And it's fantastic.
I treasure every moment.
But just beyond the good parts, you should know, not that they were bad parts, but I mean, talking to Rob and Carrie, if they want to do anything on a weekend, it would always be, we have to have coverage. Now, first that could mean they have to have someone to watch the kids.
Right.
But then it would always secondly mean, can somebody come over and watch Big Daddy? Can somebody come over and just make sure he's doing okay?
And the family was great. I mean, it wasn't all on our shoulders. But family
split. You did a hell of a lot, Rob.
We did a lot, and because we lived there. And,
right.
I mean, Carrie is handling this just magnificently. But, she saved his life. A lot of times. She was always the one to call the ambulance.
Right.
She found him after his stroke. She found him when he needed his bypass surgery. I mean, it's been a long journey.
Wow.
And I'll take this moment to outward in front of everybody, thank Carrie, because, she's not even a blood relative. Mm-hmm. And what she took on herself, I mean, and as a part of the family, I say a lot of stuff joking about her.
Mm-hmm.
She's amazing. She really is.
Don't think Big Daddy didn't love her and didn't appreciate her.
Oh, my God. I know. That's true.
That's
true. He's a great man. And rest in peace.
Amen.
And
well, we're going to miss him. And if you wonder where Rob gets his funny from, a lot of it comes from Big Daddy.
Well, and you talked about, ever since I've known you, you've been talking about Big Daddy.
It's true. And you fooled him once.
Mm-hmm.
You called him on the air as me.
Right. And I got him.
You got him.
I get a lot of people.
The best thing from that is that when it was all said and done, Don called him old-timer, and it pissed him off.
Yeah, it's kind of the way we work, kind of the way we do it,
But,
I piss him off by fooling him, and then Don has the tip in there.
You guys, all of you behind the scenes this week have been really supportive.
Well, your buddy over there has kept us all in the loop, and we do appreciate that. I know that I speak for myself that, I was not close to your grandfather, and Don and you guys hang out all the time, and Don's the godfather of your kids, and it was just nice to know, because I think everybody on the show, I think I speak for Buzz, mm-hmm. and all the guys, I think all of us knew how close your grandfather was, and not just because you lived with him, because you loved him, and it's, I envy you that you had that kind of a relationship with a grandparent. That is so
rare.
You're a kid of divorce, and I think people that go through divorce should realize it doesn't have to fracture things, because you had this incredible relationship with your grandfather. You have an outstanding relationship with your mother and your father.
And you know what's funny is, and you wouldn't have guessed this, a great relationship between my dad and my grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and you wouldn't even think. I mean, it's everything else aside.
Yeah, this is, and we should point out, this is Sharon's mother's dad.
Yeah, right. And it's just, they divorced, and there was some time when they didn't see each other, but when the grandkids came, every weekend there was my dad, and he came to see him in the hospital, and it's so, God, even the extended family, on Saturday, we found out about this on Saturday morning, like at 4:45,
mm-hmm.
and by 6 o'clock, his hospital room was full.
Right.
By sundown on Saturday, there had been 45 people to the hospital just to check on him.
So he's the patriarch of the
family. And he's the patriarch of every extended family and the whole deal. And he will truly be missed.
Oh, that's nice. And what a nice tribute you gave him.
He would be proud of you today, Rob.
Yeah,
he would be proud of you.
Well, he'd have to have the radio up really loud because he was deaf. Well, I'll say this.
I was going to say, do not say that, because on more than one occasion, I know that you and I would be having a conversation.
He'd be right there, wouldn't
he? By your computer.
Mm-hmm. Selective hearing?
Yeah, and he's
the best.
Sitting in the room, and he's got like goddamn Matlock on.
Rockford Files.
This loud! The TV's on this loud! And
I'm not real comfortable with this.
And you would...
I'm not real comfortable with this discussion about lack of hearing.
What, Mike? But the TV really is on that loud.
Like my TV.
And it would be... maybe a magic word, maybe a phrase, maybe a sentence would come out of my mouth or perhaps Rob's mouth, and you would hear over the Rockford Files or
Hunter
or Matlock or Walker or any of the shows that I used to talk with Big Daddy about TV a lot.
Right.
He had his staples. He would watch the Rockford Files if it was on any time, and it was on at the time, I think, twice, like on TBS and on WGN.
WGN, yeah. He was a sucker for MASH. He knew every... Oh, and he used to piss Gary off. He'd reveal the ending of every Matlock. And he loved MASH, and he watched The Price is Right every day. Of course, that's required when you hit 80.
Well, he's up there right now and enjoying this tribute you gave. What a nice, nice tribute you gave him. And I know you're going to do that again, and I think that's just terrific.
Well, thank you for allowing it. And he was he would have been 92. He almost made 92. He's 91. God bless you. Thank you for everything. And I speak for a lot of people when I say that.
And, I'm not trying to get preachy or anything on anybody, but, I called, with all this going on, I've been talking to my mom, who's 86 now, more than I've ever talked to her before. I tweaked it up a little bit. You got somebody, really, you've got people that are that age. You did talk about the greatest generation, but man, oh man, it really is a treasure, and there are not many of them left. And, and treasure people that have lived through all that stuff that I think people, obviously as the years go by, people get less and less in tune with what that really means and what they went through.
Yes, I would just say that to add to that.
Yeah.
Can I just?
Yeah.
You motivated me. Hey, Buzz?
Yes.
You're really great on the show.
See, Don, doesn't that feel better? Don, you have to appreciate people like Buzz from the greatest generation.
Days are numbered.
You really, really do. I think that, long overdue.
Yeah.
Buzz, let me second what Don said. Thank you for your service, Tarkan.
Good to hear from you. You don't call, you don't write.
Truly appreciate it.
And Buzz?
Yes.
always room for improvement.
Always. I'm sorry, Rob.
No, no.
What did you want to say?
And Mike brings up something real valid. I'm so pleased that I had that much time with him all throughout, and especially towards the end. But if there is someone, a grandparent or a parent, and you're on the fence of calling them or saying I love you or shaking their hand or hugging
them. Oh, sure,
them,
yeah.
Do it, and don't be the first one to let go.
I'm actually going to school right now listening to you talk about it because, really, I've never been able to figure you out at all. And being that I am me and everybody knows how I approach everybody on the show, I've never really spent much time trying to. And the thing is now, you know, we've talked about that, where Don and I will say to each other, where the F did he get that? Where did that come from? How does he know that? And now I'm beginning to realize...
Big Daddy.
It's Big Daddy.
You spend time...
It's your grandfather. That's why you know things that happen. That's why you track with, like, cartoons from the 40s.
When you're
pal- make fun of the Japanese.
When you're palling around with someone who's 60 years your senior, and you take the time to pay attention.
Right.
And that's why I've never understood people that aren't eager to get home or spend time with their... I mean, anybody's family can drive them crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But there is so much to be learned from those who came before you.
Mm-hmm.
And
I want all of you to remember it.
And I'm so glad I did.
Right.
And
you know, we all can't be Buzz
that.
Who lived it.
That's no.
Right, you know?
No. That's right. What was it like back then, Buzz?
All I can remember,
cold.
Cold. Very cold.
Very cold.
Always cold.
Well, we'll miss Big Daddy.
Yeah.
And I hope everybody will understand that we will not be doing a show on Monday because we are going to be attending the services mm-hmm. for Big Daddy.
Right. Okay.
I thank everyone in advance for that.
Very good.
Thank okay. you.
All right. So, anyway. Good job.
Yeah.
Good job by you, Mr. Speed Bump.
Thank
Great tribute.
You. Thank you. And
really good job coming in here the last couple of days, especially yesterday,
Carrying
where
on.
I thought you were just as funny as you normally are, and I know it was a very difficult thing for you to do that. And, you know, I think we've all had a good example how to persevere through good, you know, times. And
I thought his
times.
Performance the last 2 days was dreadful.
Yeah, I agree.
I didn't say it because I'd been through the weekend with him.
Specifically on my end, you know, as far as some of the lines that he was feeding me were particularly funny yesterday.
You try to get a beer in a hospital. I've got the shakes over here.
There was one that was off air that I particularly enjoy that I really won't be able to share until Friday's show.
I just had to keep saying it, Rob, over and over. Stop talking about hospital food.
You're bringing me down, man.
You're the one who's going on and on about the filet mignon. I said, they don't have that at the hospital. Hospital?
Sure they do.
Oh,
delicious
God.
Food at the hospital.
Hospital.
Well, hospital.
You know, that's cool. It's so funny, but it is the way these things, when you hear somebody talk about somebody that that they felt so much love for it, that it just puts me in a good mood. And I really think that people listening to this right now, I think it is not a downer. It
no.
is not. It is uplifting, no. and it is, it's always good to hear. And it's always good to take a moment, you know, when we're doing all the crap we're doing,
yeah.
and pause for that. And I actually enjoyed that. I was educated hearing about you and your big daddy.
He's
That's
a good guy. Very good guy. And it'll be a while before we find someone again like that, I think.
I think you'll look at him in the next room.
Well, physically. Yeah. You're looking at him, even though he's thinner, you know. Because he was Big Daddy. Big Daddy was
no,
a big
no,
guy.
No, he never what? Was.
Huh?
No, he was
5'7".
I don't want to say
sorry,
he was, I don't think he was a tiny man, but he was
5'7 to 5'8, depending on his age.
Oh, so he was wiry.
And about 175 pounds.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
A guy.
All right. So he's not petite like Buzz,
no,
though.
But don't piss him off.
Right.
Kill you.
Like Buzz.
Kill you.
He'll kill you. You know what else
Touch
he used to
my stuff? I'll kill you.
In the 40s, and this I always thought was great, because I never saw it anywhere but a Tom and Jerry cartoon.
Right.
He would sneak up and give guys hot foot. He'd put a match in a guy's shoe and light it and cool. let it burn down just to piss him off.
This man was a different time back then.
Yeah.
That's about the same age as my dad, is how old your grandpa was.
I bet they would have got on just fine.
I bet they would have.
But
Absolutely.
Big Daddy, like myself, a teetotaler.
Did you have Big Daddy like Marines? Was he a Marine? Was he a Marine?
Big Daddy was not. He was okay. in the Army. He was in the infantry. And he did not drink.
No, not at all.
No, I swear to you. And that was why it was. That was why it's a sort
he
of
was a teetotaler.
A no. delicate dance in that house.
No, I mean I'm laughing about it because for a long time Rob would have to hide when they first started living together.
So he really never took a drink.
Anti. Oh God, yeah.
Rob
really
would not drink and would not eat pizza.
Rob, Mister, surrounded himself in a
sea of green bottles.
In a castle of green bottles. Now.
And we're talking about Beck's beer.
Yeah,
I'm talking about like 10 years ago. It used to have to be.
can't drink around Big Daddy.
Wow.
Big Daddy's
still
not,
mostly done in the basement.
Still, you know, Big Daddy not really cool with the booze. Let's, you know,
not at all.
Ixnay on the ooze, babe. That's
did
why
he,
I laugh.
Did he ever give you a hard time about it? Did he ever give you a little hard
you know
time
what?
About
he was courteous enough never to bring it up because I was courteous enough to hide it from him.
Okay.
But see, that's one thing. He knew.
Of course he knew.
Like, I've been over. He would know.
Of course.
You know.
But like, well, mean, the whole family, I'm sure there are people that take a beer once in a while.
Once in a while. We'll split one.
We'll split one. With the kid. Not like, now see, that's where, you know, here I was relating to so much you were saying.
Well,
and then suddenly you took that complete left turn and left my O'Mara family in the absolute dust.
Well, that
I mean, it wasn't a get-together if they're, you know, I mean, we liked our
that place. Much I got from my dad, I think. Not so much Big Daddy. My thirsty father.
Your father's a good guy.
Yeah, he's the best. And you know what? I will say that because, I'm glad he has been there for me these past few days like nobody's business.
Good.
Just the best. The whole family. God bless you all.
All right.
Let's move on.
All right. God bless Big Daddy. All right, Rob.
Thank you.
Now, we'll go back to being the way that we have been, okay?
Oh, I thought we could do this for the rest of the show.
No.
Okay.
No. You suck.
I know.
That is a tremendous amount of goodwill.
You suck, and you're really awful at your job, and... Hell, the only reason you've got the job is that you're friends with us.
Exactly.
Jesus
there you go.
Christ.
I could go back to delivering furniture if Big Daddy hadn't died.
You could probably do that again without him being around.
Yeah, because I'm so powerful now. I was in really great shape then.
You said that Big Daddy with the vital stats on him, 5'7"?
And about 160.
So what the hell happened to you?
Again, there's my dad.
and look at Rob's dad.
Rob's dad is tall, but he's thin, right?
Yeah. And... Extreme, unlike Rob.
Careful.
Very handsome.
Oh, beautiful.
I mean, I'm not being a faggot, but
he's a fag.
No, it's not fag, but we've always commented on how youthful he looks, too.
Right.
He doesn't look like Rob's dad. It looks like he could maybe. Well, I haven't seen him in a long time.
You know, it'd be great. What if he was married to Carrie for 5 years? Then take a look at him. See how youthful he looks then.
Hey.
Now, you just said something nice.
See, that
enough.
Was
we're
a
back,
joke.
We're back
that
here.
Was
right
a
now.
Joke. That yeah. was a joke.
Wink, wink.
Nudge,
okay.
nudge.
Right.
Okay, good. Well, shouldn't you go book some guy who's like got the biggest snot ball in the world or something for us to talk to?
I believe
some guy with a collection of miniature ponies or something that we can talk to.
Tomorrow we'll be talking to Charlie Casserly's snot ball.
Oh, Charlie Casserly.
The key for me is to keep expectations low.
Yeah, no.
Wow, there you go.
Who's he general managing now?
He works for CBS, Mike.
He's out of the regular football.
He's on the JB show.
Oh, okay. All right. Charlie Casserly. And friend, kind of a friend of yours at one point, wasn't
yes, he?
Yes,
he was.
Yeah.
When he was the GM of the Washington Redskins.
Right.
Big Daddy hated the Redskins, too.
He did?
I should throw that in. Just while these things are
did he have a team?
Everything that was not the Redskins.
Really?
Yeah. Hated them.
Really?
He sure did.
That's well, kind of funny.
And BS before Snyder.
Oh, always. Well, way back.
So, like, during the real heyday when they were winning Super Bowls, you're like, man.
Yeah. He used to sit on the steps in the living room to watch the game, and every time the Redskins scored, he'd move up a step. And, like, in the 80s when they were really good, he'd have to watch from way up at the top of the steps.
That is great.
He can always gauge.
I bet there are a million of them like that. I look forward to seeing your family and hearing some of those stories.
Should be fun.
All right, Rob. Get out of here. Go do your job.
Okay, done. Let's go. We should break.
Okay.
Now, you see, you say do the job, I do the job.
You see? I'm just screwing with you, boy.
Sorry.
I'm just screwing with you, boy.
How did your stones hold up during that, John? Did your stones hold up okay during that?
They're still there.
Oh, they're still there.
What do you mean?
I will not be making fun of him exhaling today.
Did you mean his balls or did you mean his kidney stones?
His kidney stones, which were smited the other day, right?
Well, I have three more in my left kidney that I'm doing next week.
Oh.
Jump up and down. Sound like a maraca.
Wow. Oh, man, oh, man.
Yeah. What a pussy. Who takes time off for kidney stones?
I've talked to people. It's not supposed to hurt at all.
I don't know if you remember. I passed them. I believe I came to work every single day. All right. Maybe I missed 2 days. All right. Maybe I was out like 4 days. Maybe I felt like I was just full of blood and that BBs were coming out of the end of my penis. Yes. Yes, I can relate, John. God, I can relate.
What causes those? Because it's one of the few maladies I haven't gotten.
In my case, I think it was extreme handsomeness.
That's it. So the better looking you are, the more you get them.
But see, that ruins my theory, though.
Extraordinary. I can't even talk. I'm just ugly as hell.
Do they have you on any good drugs?
Percocets, but I don't like them.
Yeah. Really? What do they do to you?
I know somebody who does. Hi, Joe.
I'll take those off your hands, Mr. Norman.
I should have paid it under your
bucks apiece. Wait, how much has Joe played Price is Right on those?
We haven't played that game yet.
Well,
hey, Joe.
I think he's in the bathroom.
Hey, the show is on.
Right.
You know what it is? You were talking about Big Daddy, and he thought he didn't have to answer calls. So he thought he could go take a nice big jackass number two during
the
show.
Is he dropping a deuce right now?
He's in the bathroom.
There's no way of knowing really exactly what he's doing.
Hey. Jesus.
Joe!
Don is actually knocking on the restroom door. He's not sick, too, is he?
Maybe he's weeping.
Oh, no. Joe just came back into the producer's room.
He's not in the bathroom.
There he is. Ah, he's back now. You missed. Hey, Joe.
Hello.
Hi, what were you doing?
Blowing my nose, talking to the wife.
Hey, it's work time.
I know, but it was a very moving tribute by Rob.
Is that why you decided to go out and blow your nose during it?
Well, yeah. We're getting all weepy on the IM and everything.
Come on, you pussy. Keep it together.
I'm a pussy.
You know what helped him?
What's that?
Percocet.
Yeah. Joe, what do you estimate the street value of Johnny's kidney drugs to be?
What do you got? how many milligrams?
He's checking them right now.
Oh, they're here.
Let's hear it, Johnny. Shake it so we can hear it. Here we go.
They're here.
Joe, they're
here. Over here.
Joe.
Over here. What is it? Oxycodone. 325. Let's see how big they are. Okay, so these are standard. I don't know. I'd give you $1 a pill, maybe 50 cents a pill.
But Joe.
A good junkie, maybe $3 to $5.
Wow.
Theoretically.
A good junkie.
Theoretically.
Like Eric Bickle.
Yes, well,
he's the best.
It's a good junkie. EB.
Yeah. As opposed to JP.
Right.
Oh. A bad junkie.
Yeah, a bad junkie might get $10 a pill.
That's right. Top shelf, but in a pinch with a beer.
Are those the ones, Joe, that you crush up and put under your tongue?
Well, you can. I mean, oxys or hydrocodone, either one.
God. Joe.
Thank you,
Mr. Archer's comments are his own and don't necessarily reflect the opinions of the station or the show.
Wednesday, Joe.
Jesus.
Joe was really broken up about that Big Daddy thing because all it took was just the sound of those pills.
He tapped out of it.
They're here.
You got it.
Jesus, they're here.
Hey. Listen, I'm no pill popper. But I know that when I've had prescriptions filled for pain meds,
right?
You know, even with our stupid insurance plan, it's like $25 bucks a jar,
right?
You know, or a
bottle,
a bottle.
I get the jar.
A
jar of Perkins,
50 cents each. Hell, I'll take 10.
Yeah,
I got $5.
Yeah,
that's true. That's,
you know, what
all
I mean,
copay.
Joe, where do you? Tell me what open air drug market you're going to where you buy Percocet for 50 cents each.
Well, I mean, I've been out of the game for several years.
Easy.
And plus,
that's CYA mode, right?
Yeah, I know it is.
I know of some people that got them as they fell off the truck. So I didn't have to go through the usual, you know, junkieisms.
This is Artinger. Please, someone let me know what time.
Ethan Fuller.
What time does the drug truck come by?
It's almost like the guys in Goodfellas stealing, like, the cigarettes and all of the. All the furs out of the back of the truck.
This is Artinger. There's a speed bump at the corner of U and 3rd Street. And man, they come over the speed bump, the drugs fall off the truck.
50 cents each.
Call Eric Bickle.
He's a real bad. He's a good junkie.
That's a bargain. I believe that's a bargain. I mean, my CVS, the next time I need pain meds, I'm going to tell my pharmacist. They always say, ask the pharmacist.
Yes.
And you never ask the pharmacist. I'm going to ask the pharmacist, why are you charging me $25 when my friend Joe says the street value of these is 50 cents each?
Whenever I've been in the pharmacy, it's not asking the pharmacist, it's waiting for the pharmacist. We are a nation of pill poppers.
Or how about waiting for someone to translate the pharmacist?
There we go.
You want a pill?
This is going to make you feel much better, and your herpes will go away.
And why is it if you go into a Rite Aid, a CVS, a Walgreens, whatever your fancy, if they didn't have, like, Dwayne Reed, whatever it is, if they didn't have peanuts or shampoo, right, you would just walk up to some schmuck wearing a smock, and you'd say, you know, hey, excuse me, dopey, where's the peanut butter? But when you're back there getting meds, for whatever reason, even though you're talking to people who are just one step above people who are working behind the counter,
right,
like with the pictures and everything, only because they can count pills out with their little
stick.
That little stick.
Right.
You know, why is it when you're back there, you treat them with reverence? It's like, I've got to wait, but I'll be cool because they're a pharmacist.
Right? There's no real need to do that.
I'm not going to get mad, and I'm also going to speak in a hushed tone. Yes, hi. Picking up. Was phoned in this morning. Should be here now.
You know, it's a nice, fun little experiment.
Why do we do that?
Well, here's what you should do. When it's because I was in mine the other day, and I was not getting a prescription. I was just in the drugstore. There's this huge line right in the back of the drugstore, and I always thought it'd be funny because they're very close to usually where the pharmacist is. Just pick up this product and go. Hey, when did Durex start coming in this color? Say it at the top of your lungs. And ask the pharmacist, you know, when did these come in ribbed? And just see what the reaction is. For fun.
And how many times after you go through the whole exercise with the faux respectability that you give them, like you're talking to an authority figure.
Right.
And then when they say, do you have any questions? And you say no. And really, it's done like this.
Yeah, any questions?
No. And they put the thing in front of you, and it's just they put a sticker down, and you could sign, you know, Woody Woodpecker.
Right.
And they
go, check.
Okay, right. Looks good. There you go. Water fountains out front.
You have to go to school for a very long time.
Yes.
Do you not?
Yes.
Like longer than regular doctors?
No.
Veterinarians that have to do that?
Veterinarians.
Vets have to do that.
Call screeners
have to do that.
All I know is that they garner a large amount of respect, and for the longest time, and it's still this way in many of your grocery store pharmacies, mm-hmm. the pharmacists sit up higher, almost like a judge.
Why is that?
So they can look down on you, the little pill popper.
Mm-hmm. Why? What is the tradition of the, and they used to be called druggists.
Right.
What is the tradition of the pharmacist sitting up above everybody else?
To make it harder for people to reach for the controlled substances.
Do you really think that's the reason?
Absolutely. It's a security.
So people can't steal them?
Right. Or even try.
I always thought it was an ego thing, because I always thought they said to the pharmacist, hey, see the people up front at CVS? See those stupid blue smocks they have to wear? Guess mm-hmm. what? You get to wear fake doctor coats.
Yeah, you get to wear the white stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, you have a... I've seen hot pharmacists. I mean... Hot uh-huh. pharmacist.
Yeah.
When we used to be in Fairfax, that Rite Aid right down near Fairfax.
Yeah, drive-thru.
Oh, yeah. Never the drive-thru, but I went in one time, and once again, I was back getting various bombs and salves and rants that I normally get over the counter.
The usual.
Yeah, stuff just to get me through the day.
Right.
And, man, I was wishing that I had a prescription, because this lady was hot in that way that I like. You know, that kind of Mediterranean hot.
Yeah.
You know, so I think she might have had an accent, but she was absolutely fantastic.
Swirly.
I'm having trouble with double vision. Is there a chance that you could feel my heartbeat? Please touch my hairy chest.
You take one call, and then we hit a break. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys.
Hey, hi.
Yeah, the prices change per town you're in. As far as Percocets, 5 milligrams can go for $5. 7.5 milligram Percocets can go for $7. 10 milligram Percocets can go for $10.
Over hydrocodones. My head is spinning.
It's Peter the Pusher calling.
Hey, Joe, forget it.
Dollar a milligram.
We got a new expert now.
Dollar a milligram.
That's the new rule.
Shrugs his shoulders.
All right. Thanks,
Joe. Good response.
Thank you, Joe.
Well thought out. Bye-bye.
And, John, I will gladly take them off your hands.
Get out of here.
Bit high, bit
walking dumb. Around with a big suitcase.
You dumbass.
And he's probably got he's got that piercing where they pierce the side of his nose and it goes to his earlobe.
Exactly.
I know it's totally illegal, but why don't you put him on eBay?
Well, then he'll be out a little longer than he's been out.
Yeah. With confidence. These pills. You could do quite the write-up for that, too. These pills will take you on a trip like you've never been on before.
What you have to do is you got to dance around the rule. You have to say you're bidding on a container that the label says contains 10 Percocet. Never say there's pills in it.
No.
And that way, you know, and maybe there's pills in it. Who knows?
Oh, it just confident. Happened to sneak in.
That's right. Sold as is.
Mr. Spiewak, we're taking you away.
Are you the eBay police?
Yes, eBay police.
Buy with confidence.
Bid with confidence.
Bid with confidence.
I take pride in my shit.
This may be real Percocet, or they may be pills we fill with sugar. You never know. Might be a placebo.
Towards the end, with Elvis, we fill his pill with sugar.
Yeah, he was all about the pills, especially the deodorant pills. Yeah.
Nullo. Mellow deodorant.
You know, if I had a chance to get those, I'd try on a long weekend or maybe a vacation, I'd try those pills to see if they really work.
What, Elvis's deodorant pills?
Yeah, to see if you really didn't stink.
Because Elvis used to take a pill that would was supposed to like be the effects of taking a bath.
Nullo, it was called. Nullo deodorant tablet.
So you would not have to bathe.
I'd be able to do one test, too. You think of all the obvious spots, your armpits, the butt, that area, right behind the ear.
Yeah, oily.
Just rub behind the ear.
Okay.
Have you done that?
No. I'm...
Have you ever rubbed behind your ear, like,
no,
when you, like after 2 days without taking a shower and then smelled it?
No, I don't go there. Well, and I go to that part.
I took a shower today, so this is kind of going to be irrelevant, but let me just see. You got to really kind of rub here and go. No. See, it's got to be. It's got to be two days
to be totally.
You might really enjoy it.
To bare my soul, I would say on the weekends that I don't bathe, I definitely go right to the crotch.
Oversetter, have you ever thought to try your ear, or have you ever accidentally like had an itch, like you know where they you know,
yeah,
where the hair goes right behind the
ear?
I
know what you mean, but I don't get a lot of cheese or sweat there.
Yeah.
You will.
Have you ever done that where you just feel behind the ear?
Yeah, and
Buzz,
you can
have you
tell.
Ever done that when you don't shower?
No, when it gets slick to the touch.
Is there anything that stinks on you when you don't shower?
Oh, sure, of course.
Okay, I just wanted to check.
But it comes from someone else.
But I always shower.
Well, you mean you never go 2 days without?
I can't think of a day I've missed a shower.
Hey, listen,
about when you were on that camping sex trip?
There are.
Yeah, I showered then, too.
You've never, like, gone a day without showering?
Maybe when I was in the hospital. Beyond that, no.
Wow.
Not that I can recall.
Jesus.
Wow.
I can tell you two great pleasures I have from not showering.
Yes.
One really is like at the end of a long weekend when you don't have to see anybody. Really, on Sunday night, when you're just draped on the couch and you've got the sweats on that you had on all day, when you reach down to rearrange yourself, it is the smell of 48 hours of nobody effing with you.
Isn't it like trying to not look at a car wreck? You don't want to smell it.
I got
to
tell you one other thing, just for those who are in the fraternity. You go a weekend without bathing, and Sunday night, if you still start to go to work on athlete's foot, that can become a project that can become as gratifying as sex. If you hit on the right spot and you lightly start scratching, and if you get a pencil and you start working it like
to the bone
with the eraser, never to blood.
Right, really?
Never to blood.
Well, you have to be trained to do that.
It's okay to...
Because if you succumb to the moment, you will get blood.
You're just sloughing,
What you must do is just, at the worst, you are just grating off the top level of skin. And at that point, you know,
it's the whipped cream day.
It's clean, it's decent.
But, oh boy, I mean, are you talking about a great weekend when you can smell your fingers and when you can... Scratch your athlete's feet.
I have to tell you, Buzz, the pleasure of just going without and throwing a baseball hat on and just wandering out. And now, Don, I do it. You've done it, too. We've both done it when you go out. I do it, and I go out in public, too.
Can't do it.
Have you ever run into somebody when you do that?
Yes, sure.
It's the worst feeling. If you really are, like, at a Costco trip late in the day on Sunday when you're on your second day.
Yep. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Hello. Body spray.
Oh, really?
That is, I swear. Why do you think I got that stuff with me all the time in my car, in my office, in my bag, in everywhere? Because
like Super Dave.
That's right, Don.
I don't use Febreze,
right?
But I'm telling you, like Tag, whatever that body spray is.
Axe, isn't it Axe?
I'm not concerned. I don't stand close enough to think about the stink as much as the look. Just that look that just says, you look like a wet, greasy rat.
I got the magic because of the short hair.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about it with
the
short hair.
That's the dead giveaway.
You're always okay with a hat on.
Right.
Yes. Always okay with a hat on.
Mike goes out with a top hat.
No, but that's why I have baseball caps.
Yeah.
I never wear a baseball cap in normal situations. If I'm playing golf, maybe. But, I mean, otherwise, no. That's what they're for.
Yeah.
Baseball caps were invented for people that don't shower.
I thought they were intended for baseball players.
Oh, hell no.
No, they were not, Rob. For guys, for men, for real men.
Right.
Who smell. Hi, Buzz. How you doing?
Hi.
You really have never... I mean, come on. You've gone... Really?
Not that I can recall. I can't stand being with myself if I haven't showered.
Well,
every morning.
I did it this weekend.
Yeah, I did it this weekend, too. I mean, I went not the full 2 days, but...
I did it this weekend. I didn't take a shower between Saturday night and... Hold on, let me think about it. I bathed on Friday morning, bathed on Saturday. I took a shower Saturday morning and then didn't take another shower until Monday morning.
I doubled up on Friday. I took a shower Friday morning and a shower Friday evening.
I don't think that counts.
And then the rest of the weekend, you know, I figured I'd gotten my double pumper in on Friday.
I don't think that counts.
So I went to Sunday, like middle of the day. I was going out to like a pumpkin patch with my kids. Didn't want to stink up the hayride.
Friday, 11 a.m. till Monday.
Hey, that's nasty.
You were doing the hardcore.
Yeah, but you
know what?
A lot on your plate.
But it might not have been that way even if I hadn't been there.
Oh, man.
It's pretty fun.
You know, probably will really embarrass my girlfriend, but I'll tell you something. I say this about Frida, too. She was on the same schedule as me.
Oh, really? Good for her.
She got cleaned up on Saturday morning, and we had to go to Pennsylvania and everything, and then Rob's situation came up, and we came back home, and...
Went sans shower?
No shower. When we parted on Sunday night, she was still as beautifully grungy as...
Hey, Carla can linger.
Been all day.
Yeah. Carla can linger, and I like her when she's like that a little bit. I do.
I truly do.
Yeah. There's a little window into my soul.
Earthen.
Doesn't matter to me. Those are the words that come out of my mouth a lot. Doesn't matter to me.
I didn't really
notice. Matters to her, but it doesn't matter to me.
She's pretty clean. I mean, so I didn't notice after like one day that she hadn't bathed.
Right, and you hadn't either, so.
I'd say for some reason this would get me all... Yeah, but it's okay, Buzz. I'm a guy.
Wouldn't be likely to get me all hot and bothered.
I'm a guy.
Right. You know, I got a wedding to go to this weekend, and it's not until late on Sunday, and I think you know what I'm going to do?
What?
I'm going to do the Rob thing. I'm going to take my Friday shower, and then I'm going to go to the wedding like that.
Attaboy.
All right.
And that's
with a suit. Put a suit on and just see if I can fake it.
And a t-shirt.
Hi, how are you? Congratulations.
Suit and a t-shirt.
And a cap. And sneakers. I'll look like Professor Irwin Corey.
You know, we're running late. Hold on a second. I know. We'll make it up here in a second. It just says there's a guy named Winky on the phone.
Winky.
You have to talk to a guy named Winky,
you
right?
You do, yeah. Winky Dinky Doodle.
It's Winky, yeah.
Oh, it's really Winky.
Winky, you know, you said Winky Wright. Winky Wright's a pretty good boxer.
Hey, Winky.
Stinky Winky.
Yeah, right. Stinky Winky.
What do we owe this call, Stinky Winky?
I wanted to, first of all, I wanted to say condolences to Rob.
Thank you.
Yes, and hi to Bud.
Hi.
I wanted to ask Don and Mike, is it bad when you forget when the last time you showered was?
are you speaking from your perspective?
It's happened to me before.
Yeah, you smelly whore, yes.
Well, on a vacation, though, like I know on a vacation when I go up to Maine and it's kind of rustic up there, I couldn't tell you when.
Right.
We're talking about for women, though.
For women, it's a different story.
That's what I said for a girl.
What's the longest period of time you've gone that you know of?
Yeah. It may have been maybe 3 or 4 days.
Three or four days. Man. We're having fish for dinner again.
What's the celebrity you most look like?
You effing C word.
Who do you look like that's famous, Winky?
Well, you're not going to like this.
I bet I do.
Who is it?
Drew Barrymore.
God, you've cemented it.
She is the...
No wonder you don't like this shower.
She's the queen of the... baseball hat.
Oh, she is
shower.
I have
pimple popping.
Yeah. I have to say that I think it was Mike that said you scratch behind your ear.
You rub behind your ear. You don't scratch, you rub.
Your ear.
Yes.
Okay.
Right?
My particular spot is always my belly button.
I don't have an issue with the belly button.
You have an innie?
What's that? I have an innie.
Oh, okay. So you could probably get some.
It's not, but I've never had the odor. It's right behind the ear.
If you're a fan of body cheese, it's a shame you were not born as a man.
Yeah,
because I'm telling you, the font of body cheese is right between the knees.
Yeah.
I mean, right there.
Well, higher. You know, but she's got her belly button, or as I call it, the fondue pot.
The Gouda sanctuary.
We're double dipping, Winky.
Oh, God.
All right, Stinky Winky. We got to go.
Stinky Winky.
Okay. Good break.
Goodbye.
All right.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and...
Hey, could I use your guys' phone for a sec?
Is there anything wrong?
I don't feel very good. Hi. Is Grandma there?
No, she's getting her hair done.
What do you need?
Can you just go get her for me?
I'm really busy right now.
Well, just
tell her to come get me.
Why?
Because I don't feel good.
Well, have you talked
to the school nurse?
No, she doesn't know anything.
Will you just come get me?
No. Oh, will you do me a favor
then?
What?
Can you bring me my chapstick?
No, Napoleon.
But my lips hurt real bad.
Just borrow some from the school nurse. I know she has like 5 sticks in her drawer. I'm not gonna use
hers, you sicko.
See ya.
Oh. Idiot.
It's all in my show.
Rich with the good taste of bile. The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, look out! Look out!
Oh, yeah. Look out. Speaking of Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah.
Last night, my college-educated son calls me up.
Yeah.
And says, hey, I finally got around to looking at the commercials.
Right.
For you and Uncle Mike on YouTube.
Ah.
And then he said, have you seen the outtake for the Billy Bob movie?
Oh, I'm glad you're bringing this up.
And I said, I have not. And he said, do a search for it right now. And
funniest thing I've ever seen.
At the end of the new Billy Bob movie, whatever it is, Scoundrel Camp or whatever it is.
Super Scoundrels, right?
That's it. On YouTube, they have Napoleon Dynamite talking to Sling Blade.
Yeah, it's Billy Bob and whoever the actor is. Isn't that horrible? Whoever the actor is that plays. John Heater.
And it's like, you know.
I got a tater tot. You're gross.
And then the retarded
really good
thing
stuff.
At the end.
Yeah.
Are you retarded?
Yeah.
I reckon so. It was so well done. And they were just, hey, I guess, just riffing, just sitting there.
Yeah.
Absolutely hysterical. Oh, it's perfect. The audio is perfect on it.
Do it, please, Buzz.
I got like 10 browsers open here.
And I mean, really, both of them are totally in character from their other movies.
Oh, I forgot that today we're going to be working Buzz. We're going to be working him like an old school pump because today when we do the medical information game, rather than call up some antiquated phone line and have to press 9 and press a code in, we're using like some WebMD website and it's all going to hinge on Buzz.
Yes. Buzz is going to be the actual conduit.
Yes, Buzz is going to go into the website. He's going to find the various diseases that you and I will guess on.
Right. Buzz will be our vessel.
And Buzz is going to be the guy that says, you have chosen, you know, rotworm and a male iguana. Or
mouth rot and the green iguana.
Mouth rot and the green iguana.
The topic you've chosen is mouth rot and the green iguana.
This is exciting
because
you normally don't get to play.
Yes, I don't.
You're normally feverishly pressing buttons.
So I look forward to playing the game. Any chance on that?
I see a lot of School for Scoundrels clips. I'm not sure which one we want.
All right, find it during a break. Right. We'll find it during a break, and we will come back to it. Also, I wanted to mention, I totally spaced on this last night. I've got it TiVo'd somewhere. Last night, Rosie O'Donnell was on Nip Tuck,
yes.
And it was the episode where she was going to take her top off.
Right.
Hello. Yeah. No, not that Nip Tuck, Mike.
Mm.
Thank you.
That's like a Big Daddy joke.
That was a tribute to Big Daddy right there.
Right.
Didn't she have a potty mouth on this episode?
Yeah, but the selling point was the fact that she takes her shirt off, and...
Yeah, baby.
...makes out with some guy. Now, you don't really see anything because her dog boobs are pushed against him.
Her little tater tots.
So you just see them... Yeah, like Napoleon Dynamite, right? Tater tots. You just see them smashed against the guy.
You eat your tots?
But I didn't have time today to watch it, so...
She wanted to be with the handsomest doctor on the show, I think. I haven't watched it yet either, but I'm looking forward to it.
Do you watch Nip Tuck, Buzz?
Every week.
Really? That's a good one, right?
Usually delayed by about a day, but yeah, I always watch it.
Right.
It's a great show.
It was last night, right?
Yes.
Because my TiVo said it got it.
Yes.
And, you know, if TiVo says he's got it...
You got it.
He's got it.
Okay. That Rosie sure am busy.
Thank you!
She's back in the game.
Yuck.
And looking lovelier than ever.
She stinks. I mean, she really stinks.
You think she skips a day, baby?
Oh, you bet your ass she does.
I think that probably if you had, God, a dollar for every weekend that Rosie O'Donnell has not bathed, you'd be on easy street right now.
You'd be independently wealthy.
Absolutely.
All you need for your illustration, remember when her finger was infected for like 2 years?
Yeah, she had a staph infection.
Yeah, that doesn't just happen.
Right.
But I bet that smelled pretty great.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Hey, come on! Haven't you ever done that? That's akin to smelling Band-Aids.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but Band-Aids, I think Band-Aids are overrated as a smell factor. It's a bus. I don't think I've ever really enjoyed
Band-Aids. Well, they're not big enough to hold a lot of odor. Now, if you're talking an Ace bandage.
Yeah. How about a cast? I've never had my arm in a cast.
Oh, I have.
Is a cast like an amazing thing when you take it off?
Oh, and the thing is, your arm or whatever you've broken, when you get a cast off, it's all white and smooshed together.
You can actually slough off the skin right away when you take a cast off.
And you get a whiff of that when you take the cast off.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Baby.
Bacteria. Somebody put that in a bottle and put my name on it and get it on the shelves.
Hi, Karate.
Right away.
Yeah.
Get that right out to the fans.
Hi, Cheddarati.
Hold on a second. I think we got somebody about Rosie. Hello, Paul.
Hey, Don. What's going on, fellas?
Hey, Paul. Paul from Baltimore. Hi, Paul.
Hey, listen, that was the first time I've seen Nip Tuck. I will never watch that show again.
Why?
I wanted to throw up. It was the most disgusting thing.
Did you really?
I guess the guy... Christian, who's the handsome doctor,
right?
She pays him $400,000, and the next scene you see is a sheet draped over top of him and him going to town on her.
Well, hey, now listen,
do you see any of her body?
Sounds like that's something I want to see.
Mm-hmm. It was disgusting.
Yeah. Hold on, do you see her boobs?
Do you see her boobs from the side?
I don't see anything. You just see, like, her big, fat, hurting arms. It was disgusting.
Do you see the boobs? Hold on, please slow down.
Paul. Calm down, Paul. Settle
down. Paul.
Sorry.
Paul, do you see her boobs from the side, like if she was having a mammogram done?
I did not. I only caught the end of the episode.
Besides her arms, do you see any other areas of rosy fun flesh?
You see her butt.
Oh!
Oh, well, we're watching. Now, did you see the whole episode?
Get it, Hall?
No, I saw the end of the episode.
Was it really her butt, or did they bring, like, Cameron Mannheim in to do a body double thing?
John Madden.
Excuse me. Yeah, where's Louis Anderson?
Oh, we
have to have this butt double.
This way, Mr. Panette.
John Panette, come in here right now, please.
So it looks like... I'm sorry.
Hold on. Here's all I want to know. Please, Paul, friend in Baltimore.
Paul's very agitated.
Take a breath. Of the 30-minute show, how many minutes do you estimate you saw?
15, maybe.
So you don't qualify as an expert witness, then? Because maybe someone got to see her.
As much as she's gross, I'd love to see it.
Maybe somebody got to see her pancake boobs in the first 15 minutes.
I recall from when they started doing the press release about this, you won't see anything because she was supposed to originally have, and this is a nice thought, a flesh-colored tube top.
Oh,
but it kept showing up in the shot. So she just pulled it down for that scene.
I think we mentioned that on the air.
Yeah, I think we did.
But I think that report also said that you would get a side-on view of her bologna teats.
Man, I wish we did. I really do.
Her pork roll?
Now I want to see it.
Her pastrami boobs.
There'll be a payoff. You said pancake. I think it would really be more like tots.
A bag of tots?
You know, not obviously with the texture, but it would be flesh-colored tots.
One tot or like a collection of tots?
No, it would be like one tot.
Like a sock full of tots.
But just one tot. I think it's just like tiny little buds.
And isn't Rosie really the absolute just stop the presses when you want to describe what's really wrong with a fat chick? Because here's the thing. Mm-hmm. If you're with a really fat chick, the one bonus that you're supposed to have
usually
is huge boobs.
Right.
You put up with the 200-pound ass. Mm-hmm. You put up with the arms.
We had this discussion years ago, and what we learned, it is the first discussion we ever learned about cup sizes. Because cup sizes are very, very significant.
It's all about that.
Because if you've got a woman who is not, this was a learning experience for me.
You're right.
And I hope I'm right here. But if you have a woman who is a 44B, that is a massively fat woman who has very small breasts.
You are correct because the cup is small while the number is big.
Right.
And for the longest time, I think it
like
was
a 34C is like a thin woman
that's
who is
perfect.
Huge.
Wow.
And I think it was me more than you that was putting the emphasis on the number.
On the number. Well, because I thought the same thing. That it's 44.
But I mean, even
I think I'm right on this. I hope I'm right on this.
No, you're absolutely right.
It's like
right.
The circumference of the rib cage.
Think back higher. To Roseanne when that show first came on.
Right.
Okay. Roseanne is a big, fat pig. But before she had all the stuff done to her, she had huge knockers.
She did.
Yeah. Huge knockers.
Now, you have that one picture of Roseanne that used to... Didn't you have that picture of her?
Yes.
Like, hanging around with her when she, like, before she became a big star, when she was Trailer Park Trash and she was looking real hot?
If you ever bothered to read Madonna, Roseanne's first autobiography,
right.
When she has the pictures of her in the trailer, she's a hot piece of ass.
Yeah, she was beautiful.
She really was beautiful.
Could a 44B woman be anything but an oinker?
She could be very strong.
Could she be like a bodybuilder, maybe?
She would have to. No, I disagree. She would have to be a pig.
I would think so. I think to have that smaller cup size.
With that much flabby skin around it.
Even the bodybuilders wouldn't be that big.
Well, they can be. I mean, if you see, like, the girls you see on, like, ESPN2 during those...
Yeah, I know. And the bodybuilders.
Because they've got almost nothing to show.
Right. They're like Jim Carrey when he was on In Living Color, when he was...
Yeah,
put his hair
perfect.
Those
East German weightlifter.
Those pigtails.
I love that.
Okay, Star Jones, she's another good example.
Mm-hmm.
When she was really, really fat, it looked like she had big-ass boobs.
But she didn't.
She's another one that fools. Because when she got her stomach stapled, remember, she had to make her boobs bigger.
She's like a lot of those people that go on those starvation diets where all of a sudden it looks like she has no boobs and her head's on a stick.
Like Harney Wilson.
Listen, I know I'm going way back in the day, because it's been so long since I was out there, and I'm with Janet now. I'm not with any fat chicks now.
Mm-hmm.
But before I got married to Frida, hell, I banged fat chicks. I would pick them up off the request line. And really, nothing worse than going to see a girl who's fat, and the payoff is when she takes her shirt off, and they're like little boy boobs.
Ah!
You know what I mean? It's like the anti-payoff.
It's almost like a God should step in, and if a woman is overweight, he should at least make her overweight everywhere. But it doesn't happen that way.
You're so fat, your boobs have to be gigantic. Yes, small boobs.
Really, getting back to that 44B thing, I think when you have a woman that is not well endowed up there and she's fat, mm-hmm. she gets a lot of that back fat.
Oh,
you know that kind of that.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about?
Right.
That rounded shape
and
that they have.
Part of the 44.
Where it's just kind of like you see it because a lot of them wear T-shirts, and you see that kind of rounded look back there.
Oh, hold on here. We have a bunch of people. Excuse me, fellas. A bunch of people who saw the episode last night with Rosie O'Donnell. Hello, Nicole.
Hello there.
Hi there. Hi. You saw the whole thing, huh?
Yeah, I'm a Nip/Tuck watcher, so I saw the whole thing.
Did you see her baloney boobs?
Well, they did a lot of that clever editing, so between, like, her big arms and the way that Kristen was positioned on top of her,
uh-huh.
you couldn't really even get, like, a side shot of the boobs.
Did they show them making out?
They just went from her saying, I'll give you $400,000, and him saying, all right, and then next thing you know, they're on the floor, and like the guy said, the sheet is draped over them.
So
covering his butt. You see her big legs, like, spread eagle, and then
the
side.
Yeah. But no tongue kissing?
No. In fact, he was talking.
Imagine if the actor that had to go into that sloppy Joe mouth.
Oh, my God.
No. Wow. She was talking, and he kept telling her to shut up. So, no. She was.
Wow.
And then,
shut up!
The butt shot,
yes.
It was after they were done, and she was getting dressed. She stood up and, like, pulled up her pants, and all you could see were, like, sheer black stockings over big white ass.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the question.
Is there any chance it was a body?
If you have, hold on, before we even get that, if you have TiVo or DVR,
yeah.
Is there any way that you could slow that down?
I don't have TiVo.
No. You think you might have seen more?
No, because
okay.
Really, the way they did that, the part with him on top of her actually lasted like a minute, so it wasn't like that quick. So if there was something,
so was it simulated intercourse?
I sure hope so for his sake.
But no kissing,
that poor guy.
No kissing.
The kissing would be just as bad because it would be like sticking your tongue into an empty container of onion powder.
No, when you saw her ass in the sheer stocking,
she's gone.
I bet it was a body double.
No, I think if they have her, she said it was big, sheer black stockings over big white ass, I got to see
that. Like her.
I really have to see
it. Well, I'll watch it tonight.
And okay.
I'll watch it tonight and let you know.
Before long, she'll be doing nudity on The View.
Now, Elizabeth Hasselbeck, I'd tolerate that.
Okay.
Hello there.
And Barbara Walters.
Adam, here's another guy that saw the show. Adam, howdy, Adam.
How you doing?
We're doing very well, thank you.
the best part that nobody's mentioned yet is when her and Christian are coming back from a shopping spree and she walks in on her daughter and stepdad going to town.
What does she do?
She just gets upset at her daughter. She got her daughter a boob job, too, because she has all this money.
Okay, hold on. When Rosie gets upset, because her acting range is very limited, she only does, this is it.
Thank you!
I mean, did she sound that retarded way when she got agitated?
You could have just played a clip from the show right now. It was that bad.
Really?
The acting was horrible, and you do see when Christian's on top of her, and her leg was just, I mean, bouncing up, like almost towards her chin, and she kept asking.
Everybody loves Dynamite.
Wow.
You mean they're large enough to bounce?
Oh, yeah.
It
might have been CGI.
CGI bouncing. Computer. CGB.
Hello? I think he's going to take me for a ride in it.
Computer-generated bouncing.
Yeah.
It's me, the sheriff.
There she is.
You know me.
$400,000, Rosie.
How you doing, you pig?
Who runs this joint anyway?
I don't know. How about your pancake boobs?
Let's go.
All right, we need more CGI to make them bounce.
I'm going to go to Elma now. I'm going to catch a bus with Rick.
Bring out the top.
Yes.
Rosie, the flesh-colored tube top's not doing the trick. Show us the tots.
Oh!
Please, don't get so upset, honey. Show us the tots.
Toilet seat assistance is row number one. Thank you.
Oh, she's ignoring me.
I want to see you. Oh!
Hi, Rosie.
Before.
No, my dad.
Hey,
I need a super save.
Before everybody starts emailing us, I know that is perhaps the most annoying thing in the history of this show,
right,
to some people. But even more than the different sound effects right. For the phone answering, even more than E to E.
Right.
And to those people, I say, eat one.
Oh, that's boring clothes. What, am I scaring you?
You scared? This is some of her best material.
Yeah. I like the fishies. What do you like?
I like the louder, Rosie. The louder, the better.
That's right.
Oh, my goodness.
Shut up.
Excellent.
Yeah, what's excellent?
Can you hear me?
Of course, you're screaming.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm hearing you.
Yeah, no, you're not. You're yelling.
Take me today to get a new toilet seat because mine got broken and was sliding.
I don't care.
Who runs this joint anyway?
We do. Shut up.
I have to go to the hospital.
Shut up.
Would you like a cookie? Chocolate flavor. Very nutritious.
Yeah, you eat a few of those.
Yeah, I've something to show you.
Oh, yeah. How about shutting up?
You know me.
Yeah, I'm fussy.
Yeah, you're fussy. You got a big mouth is what you got.
I don't think it's right for a bird on somebody.
Does that make you cry?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Yes, that's a quick one.
Yes.
That's a quickie, Rosie.
Yes.
What?
I'm hearing you.
Well, about time you are.
I love you. I have to go. I have to go catch a bus.
I don't love you.
Thank you.
Okay, pancakes. Take care of yourself, Toss. Flesh-colored tube top.
Hold on. The scourge of billionaire Mark Cuban, YouTube.
Wow.
No, he's not on the phone, but Debbie is on the phone about YouTube. Hi, Debbie.
Hello.
Hi there, honey.
Hi. It's on YouTube. It the 3 minute and 49-second clip, and about 2 minutes into it, it starts.
See,
and
now,
it shows everything, and you can pause it.
Is that the magic of YouTube?
Oh, yeah.
I love it. I don't disagree with Mark Cuban. They're going to probably shut it down at some point. But enjoy it while you can.
How great is
it's
that?
It's called Nip Tuck Rosie O'Donnell Has Sex with Christian. That's the title.
Because you know what I'll do now? Now I won't even go home and watch it on regular, on my TiVo, because I'm so lazy. Now that I will not want to sit through it and
because
go.
Because you wouldn't want to sit through the whole show.
I won't want to have to go. You know, rewind. I'll go right to YouTube and just watch the yeasty goodness.
What's it called again? Because it's
funny. It's called Nip Tuck - Rosie O'Donnell Has Sex with Christian! I think he's going to take me for a ride in it.
Yeah, I think so. All right, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye.
You effing C-word.
Was that for Rosie or the last call?
We need some help. I'll get it.
Shut up.
You're trading sex for alcohol and cigarettes.
Let's go.
Mind your own effing business. Leave me the F alone. I hate you. F you. Shut the F up.
I wouldn't. I wouldn't kill.
You've been drinking today.
Yes.
Your behavior is outrageous and unacceptable.
Let's go.
I think you are way out of control.
Yeah, I
you
love them so
serious,
much.
serious help.
Yeah, because he has a green card. He's cute.
You effing idiot.
There she is. There she is. Buzz has it.
There's the clip.
We got the clip on YouTube now. You
look just good. Coasting along here. Is the audio up?
Did you get audio there, Buzz?
I don't think I can.
Be careful of the language.
You know,
yeah, there may be
his whole life, Dwight did nothing but sit around the house and pick corn from his teeth. The man's a simpleton, but he worshipped me.
You know that pig?
I can't believe he did this to me. You know, Mallory, I understand. I mean...
Well, they're trying to clean her up to make her appear to be presentable on the show. Like, this good-looking doctor would want to bang her. Even for $400,000.
And did she say about a minute into it, a minute 20 into it, that's when they... The sex starts,
right?
Yeah. Both had nothing. I know he still loves me.
Look at those eyes.
Yeah.
Like a basset hound.
Bad for her.
Oh, wait a minute.
Here we go.
Where she goes? She's running into a.
Going to the corner. Here comes the doctor. He's now looking.
She's in the living room right now. Hiding.
Empty room. Oh, it's Dr. Doom. I didn't know that Dr. Doom from Fantastic Four.
She's lying on the bed. Gross.
I want to buy one more thing, Dr. Troy. A night with you. I need Dwight to know he can't do what he did without consequences. Basically, I want a revenge screw.
Revenge is a dish.
Revenge screw.
You need to take a deep breath.
I will pay you $100,000.
I wouldn't sit in the same toilet seat as you for $100,000.
Name your price, sexy man.
$400,000. It's 10 minutes.
10 minutes.
Strictly missionary. Nothing kinky.
I'll throw in an extra 20 if we can do it on the rug.
Gut to the rug.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's simulated.
Are you all the way in?
Oh my God. Oh dear.
Sure to see a lot of his ass.
He's just like Dwight. Overwhelmed by the sudden
glamour. Hold on. Right there. Pause it right. Look at that.
Oh, my.
Look at that. He's on top of her now.
Oh, dear.
Having mac and cheese.
And looks like they're humping.
Oh, God. She doesn't look like she's ever done it before. All right. Now they're finished.
And that's it. That's the end of the clip.
No. It's just we're buffering a little bit.
I thought it would be more fulfilling.
I never going to see her stand up.
Stop it. I can tell you without fail.
That's her.
That is her ass.
All her.
100%.
Rosie O'Donnell's ass.
Hi, Rosie.
Wow.
Yo, that's fantastic. Gotta love that YouTube. Man, you gotta love it.
Yeah, I love them so much.
Yeah. That's a huge ass you've got.
Yes.
Here it was from Nip Tuck. That was last night?
Yeah.
Is that when it was on?
Does that ass stink?
Yes.
Wow.
Through the week.
Yes, it does.
Podcast schedule. We're going to go Happy Timmy's boss today. That's why it is.
Man, oh, man.
So the scene goes like this, that you heard the dialogue.
Yeah, she's lying on the bed. She makes the financial offer to the doctor.
$400,000 if you'll bang her, and then 20
on, the, right.
on the rug. Mm-hmm. And then the scene is him on top of her where you just see his ass, and they're humping like animals.
Right.
And then briefly... another shot of him on top of her, and
she looks totally uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And then cut to the after scene where she has put her dress back on, but she hasn't pulled her skirt down.
I think she was pulling her hose up.
Pulling her pants up.
She had pantyhose on. She was
right.
Pulling pantyhose up over her butt. It begs a question.
Yes.
For $420,000, would you?
With Rosie? Yes.
Yes.
I do it for $420.
Buzz? You'd what?
I do it for $420.
And that's what I think about you, man.
I would.
That is fantastic.
I'd do it just to see what it was like. Tell everybody. God, can you imagine the sting stories you can have?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Rosie O'Donnell. You're factoring in the celebrity thing.
Of course I am. If she's a real chick.
Right.
Let's say that there is a real trick. Like,
that's the best still frame I can get of it.
Yeah. See, what she's doing is she's pulling, she's pulling her slacks back up.
Over the pantyhose
with her ass.
Petite little bottom.
My God.
And you better believe that was orchestrated. They definitely arranged that. What was going to be shown, how it worked.
That's the best that ass could ever look.
Yeah.
Amen.
that's as tight as it could ever look.
It does look, it really doesn't look as bad as I might have thought.
You could flip a manhole cover off that.
I swear to Christ. $420.
Wow. All right, now, here's the thing.
Yeah.
You mentioned how much the, okay,
I'm talking about that type of woman in a normal situation.
I've had sex with chicks that fat for free, though.
Wow.
At the winner.
There's really no point in going on.
We're done
is there?
Here.
Well,
yeah.
You mean no point in your life before you were married or involved? You never, like, picked up a real fat chick and just banged her?
Not a real. Fat women? I mean, overweight women? Yeah, but not really.
Rosie O'Donnell's size?
No, not Rosie O'Donnell's
never?
Size. No. Close,
see,
yeah,
mine,
but not really.
Mine were all radio related, but
right.
Sure I did. On the request line? What about you, Buzz?
Again, same as Mike, overweight, but nothing like Rosie.
Okay, everybody.
Hold on.
What?
No, there might have been. No. No, because, well, does. I can't be. This is a family show.
No, come on.
It's not really.
Try.
But it was not. I didn't go all day, if you know what I mean. It was not.
Intercourse?
Right.
But was she a big pig?
Large.
Welcome to the club.
Mm-hmm.
Be proud, Mike.
Yeah, yeah, I am proud.
Be proud.
Yeah.
Come on, be proud.
Me too. Any port in a storm.
Oh, my God.
Thank you, Rob.
Wow.
Did you say port or pork?
Let's break.
Yeah. Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don.
Is everybody good and atoned?
Cut the jibba jabba.
Yep. Know what it's time for.
I mean, yes.
Okay. Michael, you're on the air. Hi, God bless you.
Hey, how are you? Sorry, you just caught me in the middle of making a nice egg salad.
Ooh.
Hold on.
Egg salad is good.
Yeah.
I like egg salad.
Listen, I want to compliment you guys on the show. Tell me, there's a show that I've heard when I was in Washington, D.C. It was a show called Jew to Jew. Do you guys know those guys? It's Dr. Ronald Goldstein and Michael Goodman, attorney at law. They have a similar show to yours. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
No,
I like both shows. I think the four of you should get together.
I'm happy to hear that there's another show like ours. That's great. Jew to the Jew. Now
it's
believers.
Called Jew to Jew.
They're believers.
Yeah, well, the guys, they're hilarious. They're always arguing, and before you know it, there's laughter ensues. Like that. Anyway,
yeah.
I have a question. It's about my sister-in-law. She decided that when her son is born, she doesn't want to have a circumcision. She's afraid that if they remove the foreskin, that they might maybe slip and slice the taint and expand the fart box into the ball sack or something like this. I don't know what her problem is, but what could I say to her?
Are you born again?
Where's your BM detector now?
Oh, I like it. I like it. Hey, this is great. We're being persecuted by a Jew. Praise the Lord. And he's belching on the radio to show how wonderful he is. Oh, that's great. So you don't like Jesus, huh?
He's fine. How's your taint?
Isn't that great? Okay. Well, good. God bless you, brother.
I love you.
Praying for you. That was a live phone call of a guy that had nothing else to do.
I had a feeling he was going someplace.
Yeah, me
crazy.
Too. But that's okay.
The Don and Mike Show.
1, 2, 3.
My baby don't have
okay.
I'm on my second beer.
You're a goddamn genius.
Thinking you might want to have sex with me?
Designed for your dog, but fit for human consumption. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, well, maybe as you could tell by that warm-up day, time for us to step aside. And let the doctor and the attorney come in.
They're standing by.
And before we get to Jew to Jew, let's go to Rob Spivak, the only member of the show who actually is Jewish. And Rob, yes, what is the story today on Jew to Jew?
This is a fascinating feel-good that will renew your faith in humanity.
Okay.
A Texas couple went to the Arkansas Crater Diamond State Park and found a 6.35-carat diamond. They put it up, they picked it up, put it in their pocket, they went back to Texas. They've got it in a safe deposit box. They've got a 6-carat diamond, and they don't know what to do with it.
Oh, wow. Wow, that's a significant, I would say that's a serious find. I mean, what an incredible stroke of luck.
Are they getting any kind of interest on their
It's just in the safe deposit box.
Oh, my. Well, obviously they haven't. Well, we're going to find out whether they've solicited help from someone who's an expert in that particular. I'm just so filled with questions. We've got to speak with them.
It is the same size and color as a coffee bean.
It's a coffee bean.
This is Michael Hoffman, and you're listening to Jew to Jew.
It's amazing.
Hello.
This is Dr. Donald Goldstein.
And I'm Michael Goodman, attorney at law, and welcome to Jew to Jew.
I don't know about you, but I'm feeling rather atoned. I'm feeling strong and powerful today.
I do feel the same way.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Donald. I feel as though the weight of the world has been lifted off of my shoulders, as I always do in early October.
It's a wonderful four-day week for us. We had a nice day of atonement, had a nice party.
You always seem to boil it down to the four-day week, and we always do enjoy, having a shorter work week after being with friends
family. The Gentiles, they work five this week.
Yes, of course, and of course then they have
the chosen people got four this week.
The following week, they're going to have their strange holiday that they observe called Columbus Day.
That's for the Italians. That's not even for all of the various religious groups. And let's be honest,
some of the banks will be closed.
Isn't that really a Catholic holiday?
I'm not sure. I've never really examined it. Perhaps that's something we could have on the show.
And even though the name of the show is Jew to Jew, hasn't the entire Catholic holiday of Easter been overtaken by a silly bunny with little eggs that are made of chocolate?
Yes, it seems to me that
Cadbury eggs.
The Cadbury cream eggs, when they came into, fine company, very very solvent. They've been taken over by that. And, it's amazing how a lovely holiday can be turned into something commercial.
And I would like to take this moment to mention that if you're on holiday, and perhaps you look in the mirror and you say, you know what? I wish those crow's feet were gone by the next time we come back to Key West, by the next time we come back to Key Largo, by the next time we go to Sarasota, Boca Raton. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Boca. The next time we go to Boca, I want these crow's feet to be gone. The name is Dr. Donald Goldstein. Hands touched by God. That's all I can say.
I couldn't agree more. We do this now at the front of the show, and may I say, God forbid, if you happen to be injured in an accident while you're on your vacation, please don't hesitate to call me, Michael Goodman, attorney at law, because if you have been injured, I can help. And, of course, every phone call, the very first phone call you make, there is no charge.
I hate hearing those two words.
No charge. I know.
Ow!
I understand. The work you do, though.
You might as well hit me right in the hand that I use to, and incidentally, for your breast augmentations, I go through the nipple exclusively. Exquisite. No scarring. When you say something like that, you might as well take my sculpturing hand and just pound it into the ground.
You're an artist, and you take pride in your work. And I also should remind anyone, if you have had an unfortunate happenstance that requires you to see me, what you should do
Michael
is come
Goodman,
in
and, attorney at law.
Yes, have your free consult. And then, as usual, the policy that's always been in my office, pay as you exit. Thank you.
We accept some insurance plans.
Ah.
In my office. Three insurance plans.
Including, tell the truth, including the one that you own.
Who's my co-investor in that? Now, let's not get too inside, or we're going to have the IRS calling us up.
I do better than that than I do some years with my practice.
Shh.
Sorry.
Can't you keep a secret, for goodness sake?
I get so enthusiastic.
Now, on the line today for Jew to Jew, we have a couple of people who on one hand should be commended.
We only have one. Rob Stein is telling us we only have one.
Only Donald.
Only Donald, the husband.
Right. Yeah.
That's right. Just as well. On one hand, it's an incredible act of kindness. On the other hand, what a waste. The guy's got a diamond that's worth
I get excited when I hear 6.35 carat diamond.
What is the value? What would be the value of it? So it's, I'm sure. Have they not had it appraised?
25 breast drops.
Wow.
25 full augmentations.
I would say that we're talking probably... 50,
how many billable hours?
50 to 75.
Billable hours.
Yes. 50 to 75, not including the duplication and copying.
Well, let's bring them. Him on the air with us. Hello, let's see, is this Donald Roden?
Yes, this is Donald Roden.
Donald Roden from Point, Texas. Welcome to Washington, D.C. and our national show, Jew to Jew. I am Dr. Donald Goldstein.
And I'm Michael Goodman, attorney at law. And Donald, may we first say congratulations on your wonderful stroke of luck.
Well, I appreciate it. That's once in a lifetime find, I guess. And
now, if I could be so bold, sir, to cut right to the crux of this. First, I must ask, as I do all callers and all guests on Jew to Jew, are you, in fact, a good standing member of the Jewish faith?
I'm just outside, I guess.
Just outside being Jewish?
Just outside the Jewish faith a little.
Well, we accept that, I suppose, because it's an interesting story. How did you come to find your wonderful 6.35 carat diamond?
This was our third trip to Arkansas State Park. And
marvelous.
Yeah, we've been about 7 years. We've
what
been
exactly is that accent I'm hearing?
It's in Murfreesboro, Arkansas.
I detect an accent with you that I occasionally find in a patient from the deep south.
I think he's got a southern accent. That would be Donald. That would be a southern accent. Am I right?
Yeah, I suppose so. I'm
hold on. I know.
Where is he from?
I know.
Here's
I know what he
again.
Is.
What?
He's what do they call him? He's a orange and yellow makes red. He's a redneck. Are you a redneck?
I am a redneck.
I know. I've never actually talked to a redneck before.
I have a little joke that I like to tell from this wonderful, brilliant comedian that my wife and I went to see.
Robert Klein?
No, it was not Robert Klein, and it was not Jackie Mason.
Billy Crystal?
It was not Billy Crystal, but it was a wonderful
who's
show.
The guy that did Inside the Comedy Mind?
It was not Alan King. We did not see it. It was not Myron Cohen. We did not see it. It was not Freddie Roman.
Jerry Seinfeld?
It was not Jerry Seinfeld. He was an unusual comedian. He didn't even look or act like a comedian. His name was Jeff Foxworthy. And he said, you know, you're a redneck if your family tree is a straight line. And I found that marvelous. I thought that was very amusing.
That is a marvelous ridiculous.
Isn't that fabulous? And I just laughed and laughed. And I said, all right, well, bring on the headliner.
Well,
he said he was. I was very surprised. We're season ticket holders, of course.
Well, then, Donald, if I could be so bold, if you and I hear a child in the background.
Do you have a little one there, Donald?
No, I'm not
afraid. I am guessing, as with many rednecks.
Are you running a daycare center?
No.
Is that a child that you have fathered out of wedlock?
Oh, no. Background noise?
Yeah. Might I mention, if you have fathered a child out of wedlock, everyone is aware that
probably
can be a rather complicated legal scenario, and I'd like to remind everyone that Michael Goodman, attorney at law, has a free consult if you have unfortunately impregnated someone that was unintentional. We can help with all the legal ramifications of the said unwanted sexual encounter.
And I would not be doing you a favor as your friend if I didn't tell you, the listener, that if you've been through that unfortunate situation and you want yourself to look good down there, After you've had a child, I am proud to announce that for the first time, the offices of Dr. Donald Goldstein are going downstairs. We used to be exclusively doing breast augmentations. We are now moving down south.
Is this the new plan that you're going to be unveiling, the put an extra stitch in for Daddy?
That's right.
That's wonderful. I think it's so nice that you're bringing that into the open.
Also for men, we offer testicular lips.
Oh, wonderful. That's so much. It's every day, isn't it? A new innovation in your line of work.
We're making Olivia do some piece of art.
were the first person that was invented the concept of floral design.
Perhaps labia would be. Libya is a country.
Yes.
Labia is a body part.
Thank you for clarifying that, but that's not my area of expertise. Of course, unless it's been injured in an auto situation or perhaps a fall in the bathroom.
So on this afternoon's edition of Jew to Jew, we're talking with a man who's not a Jew, but seems like a wonderful fella.
His name is Donald Rodin.
He's a redneck. I believe also I've been told now many people refer to you as white trash.
I don't know so much about that.
But you have a diamond, and you're going to be able to leave that that life behind. And have you had it appraised?
Not yet.
Why not? Now, this is the reason we're calling you. Why not? Why would you have something worth, I'm guessing, at least keeping in mind that you're a white trash redneck, I bet it's worth a pile full of shiny quarters. I bet that diamond is worth all the money you would find in a large chocolate pie.
Have you notified Mr. Drysdale?
Not yet, no. We've had a lot of people speculate on the price, anywhere from 50 to 150,000, depending on the cut and the clarity.
Oh, my. I think if that is cut and sized and analyzed, you can make that into a much larger sum of money. That would just be my not having seen the stone, not having analyzed the gem. I would say that probably is probably a little, they're aiming a little low.
Here's a question for you, though.
Yeah, sure.
If you were to get $100,000 for this diamond that you found, how many Chrysler PT Cruisers would you buy?
None.
Then let me ask Donald, what would you do with the money if you had
$100,000? What would I do with the money?
What would you do, yes?
Take a long vacation first.
Oh, take a long vacation. That's nice, somewhere in Florida.
We were just discussing what it's like and how nice it is to be on holiday.
Would you be in Florida?
Oh, yeah, at least a month.
That's cool. When do you think you're going to make a decision about selling this diamond?
Well, the decision has been made to sell. We're just not sure which direction to go. Try to sell it in the rough or have it cut.
Donald, we have some wonderful news for you. Part of this call was an information fact-finding mission from my colleague and I, and we are prepared. I have written it down. I'm going to check with my partner in crime here, so to speak, just whether he approves of this offer.
I resemble that remark, and let me say, I'm not the one that stands up there with rap singers and gangsters in court defending them.
They are human beings just like you, and they deserve to be represented. Now, that is the offer that I was thinking we could put forward for the stone. What do you think? Am I highballing it?
I would go with you on that. That was at 50-50?
50-50, right down the middle.
You make him the offer.
All right, we're prepared to offer you for your gem. This is now, you say, Donald, this is a 6.35 carat diamond?
Yeah.
We are prepared to offer you $25.
Offer what?
$25. And we would pay also for the shipping and handling.
Whoa.
We got a bad connection.
Yeah, you're darn right. We're not paying for shipping and handling.
All right, then I would say it would be somewhere in the neighborhood of $23. Shipping and handling would be...
we'll want it certified mail.
Yeah. Oh, certified mail.
$22.
$22 final offer.
That wouldn't even cover shipping and handling, would it?
Oh, of course it would. I'm sure he had a 6.35 carat. So
that wouldn't cover it.
is your answer yes or no?
No, it has to be no.
The answer is no.
Are we prepared to go any higher?
I'll send you a picture.
send me a picture.
Oh, you'd like to send... Would you send us a picture of the stone?
That would be the first picture I've ever received from a redneck. You're the first redneck I've ever spoken to in my life.
But you've got you've got the big diamond. Wait, you have it in a safe deposit box?
Yes, it is in a safe deposit box.
My goodness, please have it appraised.
Now, let me speak to you.
We're going to... we've been a little busy the last couple of weeks, so...
Yeah. I find your accent to be totally intoxicating.
Donald, I hope you'll excuse me for a moment, but I must ask Mr. Rodin
this
question. Donald?
Yes?
Do you have representation?
No, not yet.
All right. We're going to need to put him on hold. At the conclusion of the interview, I need to speak with him.
If we could ask you one final question. Not about the diamond, which obviously you're not going to be selling. And maybe you can take it from me, a noted plastic surgeon, and my friend, a noted attorney at law.
Who represents people that find diamonds.
You should really get some money out of that thing immediately. Put it in a bank vault, get it appraised.
Or you could actually, I know in that part of the country, you could probably work an entire amusement park around the theme of the diamond. Diamond amusement park. Yes, they said. What do you currently do for a living there, Donald?
I'm disabled.
You're disabled?
Yes. I'm
we must talk. I see a very interesting conversation in your future.
Tell me something. Yes.
That's one hell of a coffee bean, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's larger than that.
Oh.
It's about the size of a peanut M&M.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that on the finger of a lovely young bride?
Oh, yeah.
From Park Avenue.
The only thing that would make that look more beautiful on that woman's finger would be to have two beautiful breasts.
I couldn't agree more.
Augmented by yours truly.
That's, and I'm sure that if we...
Have I mentioned we exclusively go through... the nipple.
And you are one of the pioneers in that procedure, and I'm giving you a little plug.
They're calling me Dr. Nipple. On Jewish Doctor Monthly, I'm on the cover this month. Hey, Ma, look at me, it's Dr. Nipple.
Now, where do you weigh in on that, Donald? Do you believe in through the nipple, under the crease, or through the armpit? Where do you weigh in?
On a chain right in the center, I guess.
On a chain in the center. Oh, no idea what
he's
a barbarian.
He's a barbarian.
He's a redneck.
Very difficult, very frustrating.
Can I ask you before we end this fascinating conversation, who your favorite Jewish performer or athlete is?
We always do that when we have someone from the South.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Who would be the most your most favorite Jewish...
As far as I know, I don't know one.
How about one from TV or the movies or the world of sports?
No, as far as I know, I don't know a Jew.
You don't know a Jew?
No,
as far as I know, I don't.
That's unfortunate.
Let me ask you something.
How about the baseball player Hank Greenberg? Have you ever heard of him?
No, sure doesn't.
Have you ever watched the Jerry Seinfeld show?
Very, very little.
Oh, did you?
I've seen it a little, not much.
Did you know that he's a Jewish man?
Oh, sure didn't.
Can we put you down for Jerry Seinfeld, then?
No.
To watch Jerry Seinfeld?
Yes, can we put you down as him being your favorite performer of the Jewish faith?
Oh, yeah, well, there you go. There you go.
That'll the answer it. Today is Jerry Seinfeld. Again.
Again.
Again. Again, like so many times like
every
before.
Every time it's Jerry, Jerry, Jerry.
I know.
Well, thank you very much for being on the show. We appreciate it.
And good luck with that find of yours, that wonderful diamond.
Shalom.
All right, man. I appreciate it.
Shalom, there, Donald.
Robert Stein, our producer, needs to speak with you.
Okay.
Hold on, he's doing it. Shalom. Thank you.
Now the follow-up.
Donald, thank you so much. How do you think it went?
He knows no Jews.
No, you were on air the whole time, and I thought you were wonderful. Well, we'd like to call you sometime around the high holidays, if that's okay. Okay, that'll be great. Good luck with your gem. And our best to the wife.
Bye, then.
Bye, then. Bye-bye.
There he goes.
I don't know any Jews.
Wow.
Okay.
There he goes. Good luck with that. No need to have that appraised.
He's got a diamond worth at least, $1 million? At least $1 million? Six carats?
That's as big as a peanut M&M.
We better put that in a safety deposit box.
Go to town.
When we come back, let me see. Oh, it's cash and prizes. It's like a radio station contest.
Yeah.
Cash and prizes. We'll do this over two breaks. The medical information line game.
Oh, very good.
We'll do one break to warm up, mm-hmm. and then one break where we play with you, our listeners.
Cool.
Maybe you remember this. We've done this for years. We used to have a thing where I could call an automated answering machine,
mm-hmm.
and I would give out numbers, like say 6524 or 6523. One would be like pyorrhea,
right.
and one would be like hangnail.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, one would be very much more fun than the other. When you would call a medical information line, it began with America being so screwed up with HMOs and all the insurance crap.
one year our insurance company gave us a book. And really, they said, instead of going to the doctor,
why get a consult from a real physician when you can call an 800 number and actually get an explanation of what you may have?
And once we found that thing, that's gold, Jerry.
Oh, yeah.
That's gold. The problem is now that that phone system has become antiquated and is out of business.
Costs too much money.
Because it's all online now. Mm-hmm. So now we're working with WebMD, and Buzz has WebMD up on his computer in the other room.
Right.
Neither Mike nor I can see the categories.
They're still numbered, right, Buzz?
No, it's different. We're doing A and B this time.
Oh,
so
okay.
So there'll be no numerical clues whatsoever.
So we will either choose A or B.
Very good.
Would you like it better with numbers?
No, I just don't know. I'm looking forward to a new experimental version of the game.
When Mike and I played before, generally you could, if you knew it was a 300 number or a 400 number, you kind of knew where you were in
yep.
the chart.
It was a good way to cheat.
This is completely blind. You have no way of knowing.
So it's going to be like, almost like a new version of Deal or No Deal. Deal or no deal.
We don't have time today because we went way long in that first break. Tomorrow, please remind me to tell everybody what a moron Mike is.
Thank you.
Not only does he watch Deal or No Deal.
Occasionally,
Mike,
I do look at it.
He bought the video. He bought the Xbox game.
Yeah. Not the Xbox game. I bought the game that you can actually put in your DVD player and how he talks to you through the TV.
He's mentally retarded.
Thank you.
You are.
Deal or no deal. You don't get money. It's just for fun.
You're an idiot.
I love me the Howie.
You're an idiot. So on your TV, they come out with little briefcases.
All them pretty models. I'm keeping my diamond in the safe deposit box.
How big is it?
I don't know. It's a peanut.
M&M peanut.
A big old M&M peanut. Deal or no deal.
All right, we'll come back. We'll start the new and improved medical information game.
It's a game of skill.
Me against Mike.
All right.
And then me and Mike together against our listeners.
Yay.
Won't that be fun?
I love it.
And you know the element of danger in this? Yeah. You just heard him laugh. It's Buzz at the controls of the computer.
Buzzito!
We'll be right back, everybody.
The greatest generation.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, look out! Look out!
Ah!
Yes,
get ready for some hot fun. Wednesday, October 18th, the Don and Mike Reno-style show returns to Hooters of Rockville, 1471 Rockville Pike. Hot fun. Come enjoy the scenery as you feast your eyes on the tempting, beautiful, voluptuous figure of the entire Don and Mike crew. Delicious Don, mouth-watering Mike, bodacious Bud, red hot Rock, and John and Joe, your joy boy. The fun starts at 8 p.m., so come out and revel in their sexiness. Oh, yeah, and the Hooters girls are pretty, too. Don and Mike at Hooters of Rockville. We'll see you there, baby. Buzz Burbank is certified clean. Medical documentation on file. Thank you.
Thank you.
Cut the jibba-jabba.
The Don and Mike Show. Call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Well, hello.
You're goddamn teeth.
Are you thinking you might want to have sex with me?
Look. The key for me is to keep expectations low.
Let's bring the big love to the Don and Mike Show.
Right.
Tighter than a knot, my friend.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah. All right, let's get right to the medical information game. It's just a warm-up now.
Right.
Before you cats call in for Mike and I to play the game with you and win cash and prizes.
This is the preseason right here.
We're just giving this a try because, right. Well, you know, I'm a control freak and I like running everything on the show because I just want it done the right way. And I'm going to give Buzz a wide range here to run this game, because it's not exactly the way that I would run it when we used to call the number and you'd have to sit through the whole...
The topic you have chosen is and herpes.
Punching in 7625.
Right.
Being disconnected often.
It would happen all the time.
Right.
So now we're going to cut right through that.
Mm-hmm.
We've gone to webmd.com.
Very good.
And the way the game works is, both Mike and I will be given two random ailments.
Uh-huh.
That has not only the diagnosis, but treatment on WebMD.
We'll pick one of the two, A or B, And if we get the you know, the funnier of the two,
right,
then we win that first round, right?
And
right.
Then the trick is to get, is it two funnies in a row or three funnies?
Three funnies in a row.
Three funnies in a row.
Each, so they have to be in ascending order.
Each progressively funnier than the winner before.
All right, so in each category, when we choose from A and B,
right,
there will be progressively funnier ailments in each of the subcategories.
God, we hope so.
And here's where Buzz comes into play.
All right. God, you know, that is tough.
You know when the guy would say, well, what do you mean it's tough? I used to do it all the time.
Right.
I know. And it's like, yeah, when someone else has got to do it, you go, wow, that is tough.
Yeah. Well, it's because you do it so effortlessly, I never really notice it.
Thank you, darling.
Okay.
So Buzz,
yes.
Okay. A lot of this is going to be when we make our selection.
Right.
And it's time for the actual disease or ailment, whatever it is, to be announced.
Right.
You got to read it just like it says on WebMD and read it as straight as you can.
Got so each one will have like a little explanation of
that's
what the
right.
problem
just,
is.
Just like on the phone.
Very good.
All right, well then let's start, Mike, and see if we can do a sample round and then we'll
I know to... I'm not going to like it as much as the way it used to be when you did it.
Yeah, I agree.
Mike, listen, everybody's patronizing me right now. You know, go to hell. You know what?
Remember
I saw George Brett, who's maybe the greatest singles hitter in the history of your antiquated game, baseball, Mike. And George Brett said, they said, well, how come you never, it never looks like you break a sweat out there.
He says, right.
You go out there and I do something that's the hardest thing in the world, and I make it look effortless.
Right. I never probably tell you often enough how much I appreciate what you do.
No,
right. And I may be laughing, but you know I do mean that.
I know you do.
I'm over here with my feet up every day, and all I got to do is talk and try to avoid a panic attack.
Here we go. I'm ready to start this with Buzz. And I'm looking forward to playing the game against you, Mike.
This will be fun.
I'm looking forward to not being Alex Trebek and knowing what all the answers are.
And I give a nod, a great tip of the cap to Gigi over there. Greatest generation.
Here he is.
Save that till the end.
All right, very good.
All right,
you're going to do fine, Buzz.
I know. Here we go, Buzz. I'd like to go first, if you don't mind.
All right. This is the medical information game, and here are your first two choices. Don, it'll always be the same.
This is making me laugh already.
A or
this
B.
is already making me laugh. I don't know why it is, but it really is because it's different, and new things make me laugh.
A or B, Don?
This is fun.
What were my choices again? Buzz, I will take B.
All right.
B!
There we go.
Oh, no, that's another game.
The topic you have selected is water on the knee.
That's right.
Do I have to keep? Do you want me to keep a record of these?
Rob, keep a record of them.
Rob, do you want to keep a record? Oh, I love Mike. Out of game, boys.
Water on the knee.
Guess what my responsibility is in this game?
Just plow through, Buzz.
In a general term, used to describe excess fluid that accumulates in or around your knee joint. Your doctor may refer to this condition as knee effusion. Painful knee effusions may be the result.
Right, that
that's enough of that.
Enough. So
right.
That's my beginning one.
Right?
Right.
And
so
now,
he doesn't give you B, right?
Correct.
So now it's my turn.
Right.
And mine has to be funnier than water on the knee.
Right.
And well, actually, yours is just the beginning one. Yours is just the first one that you
yeah,
build on.
You're each building your own pyramid.
This
gotcha.
Is the bedrock.
Oh, so your goal, really, in that first round is to maybe not have a funny ailment.
Correct.
All right.
Buzz?
A or B, Mike?
Oh, boy. Boy, choices. Jesus. Hey. Hey.
Hey.
Right. Yep.
The topic you have chosen is back pain.
Ah, okay, nice and mellow. I have this, and I'd like to hear about it.
The back is a well-designed structure made of bone, muscle, nerves, and other soft tissues.
Now, that's BS.
You rely on your back to be the workhorse of the body.
Uh-huh.
Its function is essential for nearly every move you make.
Okay, blah, blah.
Right.
All right, so...
He's a good reader.
So I'm starting with...
Water on the knee.
He started with B, water on the knee.
And Mike starts with...
Back pain.
Back
right.
pain.
All right, so now my next one has to be funnier.
All right, now let's have a discussion about this, though. Which would be funnier if you were comparing those two? Which would be funnier, water on the knee or back pain?
Water on the knee.
It's a funny concept.
Water on the knee.
Right. Okay, Don, A or B?
I'll trip you up, Buzz, and I'll go A this time.
Oh. A. All right. The topic you have chosen is rectal itching.
Oh, man, that's a big jump.
Let me say, that's a big winner, and also I'm very interested.
Anal itching is an intense itching around it, may be accompanied by a strong urge to scratch. It can be an embarrassing and uncomfortable situation. Well,
nothing embarrassing about that at all.
Tell me about it. See, now the problem is now I got to I got to top rectal itch next time.
Yeah, it's going to
be
tricky.
Be done.
Nothing embarrassing about it. There was that one time at the grocery store. I thought that woman overreacted. The
produce section?
Yeah. I mean, just because I was touching that little divider.
Your turn, Mike, and Mike is building on...
Hey, back pain.
Back pain.
Back pain. A or B, Mike?
B.
All right,
and this is from WebMD.com. Just so...
got to be funnier than back
just
pain.
Just so you don't think Buzz is just picking these at random, these are really... topics and medical conditions and cures from WebMD. Okay, I'm sorry, Buzz.
The topic you have chosen is gallstones. Like many people, you may
funny
have
the back pain.
Gallstones and not know it.
All right.
In fact, gallstones, solid deposits of cholesterol or calcium that forms in your gallbladder or nearby bile duct.
How are you enjoying this, John Norman?
Often cause no symptoms and require no treatment.
All right.
All right. So,
gallstones.
See, now, from my way of thinking, all you got to do is hit a double and you can win the game.
Yeah, absolutely.
I got to hit a home run.
You really do, because yours has to be funnier than rectal.
Rectal
it's not a lot funnier than that.
You know, Buzz, the way that I used to stack the game out, rectal winning, rectal itching would be a winning category. That would be a category
three
ailment.
We may be able to top that.
All right, let's see.
What do you think, A or B?
I'm anxious.
Well, don't say it like that. Sounds like the fix is in when you say it like that.
Well, I just know there are other good ones coming up, so anything's possible.
A or B, I will choose this time. As in buttock, B.
B. The topic you have chosen is thumb arthritis.
Oh, man.
I'm out already.
Thumb arthritis, also called basal joint arthritis, occurs when the joint at your wrist and the base of your thumb...
I'm wiggling my thumb there, Rob.
...develops osteoarthritis.
Ah, shut up. I don't care about that.
Right, no one does.
I only hope now that Mike doesn't get something funnier than gallstones.
So it was water on the knee, rectal itching, and then the dreaded thumb arthritis.
Right. And I'm out. I'm a big loser there.
What do you think, Mike, A or B?
I'm going to go with B again.
Okay, good choice. All B, the topic you have chosen is... bladder control.
Yeah!
Hey,
yeah, baby! Bladder control, funnier than gallstones.
Bladder control, loss of. Do you have trouble controlling when you urinate?
Yes.
Do you leak urine when you cough or sneeze?
I do.
Do you suddenly need to go to the toilet so badly you're not sure you're going to make it in time?
Indeed I do.
Right. Sometimes you don't. There's a fear of wet.
Nope.
That's right. That is loss of bladder control.
Cut the jibber down. All right, well, that's how you play the game. Congratulations, Mike. Well
played. Thank you. Thank you very, very much.
Well
and I think this is going to work just fine.
Well played now. Rob, if you would...
Is that me? Is that mine?
I don't know.
It is.
Did I forget it again? I'm sorry. I'm really glad it was at the end of the game.
All right. Hi, baby.
Shut up.
Hey, hello.
Oh, I thought you knew it was your girlfriend.
Yeah, well, I didn't know it was her. I guess she hung up before I could answer. It rang a whole bunch of times.
That happened a lot.
I should fake the call right now, shouldn't I? You know. Yeah. No, you can call me anytime.
I tell you what.
I know you do.
I know you like doing that. I know you like doing that, baby. I like you doing that, too.
Of course I won.
Rob wrote that.
Oh, I get a message, too.
I wonder what's from.
That's my message sign. I'm sorry. Oh, some days I just don't remember.
We could just
you want to recap the pyramid?
Recap, please, Buzz, because Mike won that round.
Or have Rob do it.
All right, Don, your pyramid was your first round, B, water on the knee, followed by A, rectal itching, looking great.
Rectal itching!
Take out the B and the A.
And then, sadly, thumb arthritis.
Okay, so, big loser. And Mike's pyramid was?
I had back pain, followed by gallstones, followed by loss of bladder control.
And that was a winning pyramid.
Sure.
And that's how you play the game.
Right. And then the show was interrupted by an unwanted phone call.
Now, when we come back, we will take you cats on the telephone, and it will be Mike and I as a team against listeners.
Yes. And if you can beat us,
you're
going to win. How much are they going to win?
$100.
All right.
And Mike and I will confer on each one to decide if we want to go A or B.
Mm-hmm. So you want to stay tuned because there may be bickering.
Because you know Mike, he's all about the A.
That could be this very message I just got.
And he's also about the B.
Fantastic. We'll be right back.
I love that. I love that category, rectal itching.
Be right.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Hey, the
muffler plant's gone too.
Yep.
Good. Melt the chocolate inside the deck. That really ups the resale value.
I think it's going to be okay here.
They have a thin candy shell.
I didn't know that.
I think your brain has a thick candy shell.
Your brain has the shell on it.
Are you talking?
Shut up, Richard.
The Don and Mike Show.
Shut up, Richard.
Just like a great big bowl of okay.
Howdy.
The Don and Mike Show.
All right, very quickly. I know Buzz will not have this on the news tonight. What did I want to talk about today? Ruben Studdard lost 50 pounds.
Wow.
At a fat camp.
Wow.
You know, that is Buzz is like one bowel movement for him.
Wow.
And also tomorrow we've got to read the article from the National Enquirer that says Mel Gibson is drinking again.
Oh, no. What will Robin Williams do?
Oh, wow. And I got all kinds of tapes of Robin Williams, too. Actually, I've got pretty good tapes of Robin Williams because Mike and I have had fights about who's funnier, Robin Williams or Steve Martin. I have tapes of Robin Williams talking about going into detox.
Yeah.
And they're good tapes.
Okay, good.
He does a good job of describing why he went to detox, unlike Foley, who,
And the Foley, I'm sorry.
Too late. Since yesterday now, we find out he was molested by a priest.
Yeah, it's a clergyman. That's what he's got to come out with.
That's convenient. He's also a full-out homo.
Right.
And he's an alcoholic.
Yeah.
But other than that,
he's great.
There are plenty of people that are homos and have been molested by clergymen and alcoholics that don't do what he did. Right?
Here we go. Let's play the medical information game against somebody on the phone, Mike. We're playing for $100 now.
I'm ready, baby.
Let me see this this person. Who is this? I don't know who this is. Hello, what's your name?
This is Sue.
Hi, Sue. Where are you from?
Sacramento, your favorite town.
Oh, we do love Sacramento.
I'm going to try really hard now.
Sue, here we go now. It's Mike and I against you.
Okay.
And, that's an odd
picture.
Hey, why is that so odd, baby?
He's a fat hog.
Oh, now, Rob, be nice.
Something tells me you're no stranger to the two-on-one action.
Well, you have a camera in my house or what?
Hey, there you go.
Right.
Party girl.
Two heads are better than one.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. We don't really put them together that often, though.
Unless you want a picture.
This is fun already.
Okay, let's see. Sue, you will get to pick first between A and B from WebMD, which is being run right now by Kindly Old Buzz.
Hi, Sue. Pick
A or B. How are you doing?
Good.
A.
Hey.
Okay.
The topic you have chosen is acne. Acne is a common skin disorder characterized by clogged pores and pimples. More than 4 out of 5 people between the ages of 12 and 24 develop acne at least once.
Okay, there you go. Let me
Not that I, funny, but that's what you want as
right.
the first one.
Good start. Let me just take this moment to say hi to Wendy Rieger from Channel 4. and now one for Mike and I, our starting one.
All right, very good. Now, are we going to rotate on these picks, or are we
teaming? Or
are we teaming up? Are we going to have an argument, or what?
Buzz, let's see. What are our choices again?
You can either have the A, or you can have the B.
Hmm. See, Mike, this is where the psychology comes in. Last time, I think he fooled me by going A, B, A. I don't know if you noticed his pattern.
Yeah. I think you're wrong. I'm just doing that for dramatic effect.
This is bickering. Yeah.
All right, she picked A, did she not?
She did.
I think we should go B.
I think you're right. I'm gonna agree with you this time.
Okay, all right, the next time it'll be up to you.
I'm not going to wholeheartedly agree with you, but I'm gonna say what the heck.
Come on, okay. Come on.
We're going to go with B?
B. Buzz, we'll go with B.
Let's do it, Buzz.
Starting your pyramid with B, bad breath.
Oh, dear.
Store shelves are overflowing with mints, mouthwashes, and other products designed to help people control bad breath.
Oh, I don't know about that.
It's
a good one to build on.
Not funny.
Yeah, well, funnier. That's where you want to start.
Funnier than yours, though, honey. See, both Mike and I love that. Buzz, continue, please.
All right. Sue, A or B?
No, with a bad breath.
I'd
like to find out where it comes from.
I thought perhaps you were bored with that. Yet these many products on the grocery shelves help control bad breath or halitosis only temporarily.
You'll know when I'm bored when you hear that.
There you go.
Right.
Okay, so.
All right.
We start with bad breath, and Sue starts with, what is it, Robbie?
She started with acne.
Acne.
Okay. How do you do?
So Sue's next one must be funnier.
That's right.
Than acne.
If such a thing is possible.
Good luck, Sue.
What do you think, Sue?
Oh,
A or B?
B.
The topic you have chosen is
bird flu.
Funnier than acting.
It is.
Viruses are masters of interspecies navigation.
Close,
mutating rapidly and often grabbing the genetic material of other viruses, they can jump from animals to humans with a quick click of their DNA.
That's educational as well.
You know, what he's done is he's either set it up so she's going to come in and smash me out of the park, because there's a million things funnier than bird flu.
Right.
You got to, and we've got to work on bad breath.
Breath, but we still have a chance.
In some games, bad breath could be a winner.
You might win it.
If you start out with, like, back pain.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, we got to build on bad breath.
All right, I'm ready.
Good luck.
All right, Mike, what are you feeling now?
I'm feeling B again.
Wow.
What do you think, Don?
Where did we go last time, B?
See, that's how I won the last round.
It could be a triple smoke screen.
He could be filled with trickery.
And hide.
I go with you. I say we do two B's in a row.
All right, two B's in a row.
A smart move.
Sounds like it could be a novel.
Yeah, and Buzz, please don't say a smart move.
Okay.
Because now you let us know that we made some...
Yeah, you have taken the element of surprise out of it.
I'm sorry, I won't do that again.
All right.
The topic you have chosen is barber's itch.
What?
How unique. I've never heard of that.
What is barber's itch?
Oh, you're glad you asked. With common names like hot tub folliculitis and barber's itch, folliculitis may sound more like a bad joke than a skin disorder.
Ooh, barber's itch.
Folliculitis, an infection of the hair follicles, is no laughing matter.
Wow.
There you go. Now.
Yeah.
Now we're
barber's itch.
Now we're cooking with grease.
Face is loaded.
Right. Wow.
Barber's itch going.
All right. What do we start with? What was our first one?
Bad breath.
Bad breath. Barber's itch.
Okay. So now we go to Sue. And what's Sue's pyramid?
Acne starts the pyramid, followed by bird flu.
Right, bird flu, okay.
So yours must be funnier than bird flu, Sue.
Good luck, Sue.
I'll go with B.
And don't forget, even if yours is funnier than bird flu, we can still knock you out.
Right.
If ours is funnier, then you're top of the pyramid.
That's right.
Good luck, Sue.
The topic you have chosen is bed bugs. How many times have you heard sleep tight?
That is right on the line.
Bugs,
not funny.
That is right on the line as far as funny or funnier than bird flu?
Not funny.
I think it's a tie with bird flu, so it's a lateral pick.
So she actually is not knocked out of the game.
I don't think bird flu is a hilarious
one. I don't think
one.
Bird flu is funny, but bed bugs are kind of... They can't... Don't you think bed bugs, if you really were going to analyze it, would be funnier than bird flu?
You know, just when is bed bugs a medical condition?
Well, bed bugs are vermin.
Well, it's something
and I think vermin is funny.
Funny is something on WebMD. Well, all right, that's your pyramid.
All you have to do is be funnier than bed bugs and you're a winner.
Right. No, we've also got to be funnier than whatever
then
our
barber's
last,
itch.
Than barber's itch.
Yeah, if we come in under barber's itch, which is a pretty funny malady.
Okay, now, Mike. I don't think he's going to go B, B, B.
See, I do. You want to toss a coin? Heads it's A, tails it's B.
About? I just got a feeling about him.
Three B's. His name is Buzz Burbank. It couldn't be any more obvious.
The third one's got to be an A.
All right, we'll go. I'll yield to you on this one because we will play the game again sometime.
If I'm wrong,
with yours.
I'll take the pressure.
All right, A is the answer.
A, Buzz.
The topic you have chosen is bacterial vaginosis.
Hey! Way to go, Don.
Tell us about it, Buzz.
Bacterial vaginosis. The type results from the overgrowth of one of several organisms that are normally present in your vagina, upsetting the natural balance of bacteria there.
Funny.
More than one in six pregnant women in the U.S. has bacterial vaginosis.
Bacterial vaginosis!
That winning pyramid, once again, if you just joined us, if you're just getting off an airplane, the winning pyramid is bad breath, barber's itch, bacterial vaginosis.
But you know what we used to do? Seriously, and this is in fairness to Sue from Sacramento, we used to always have one bonus round.
One final one.
We chose one, and she chose one with another chance to win her $100.
I agree. And why don't you go ahead and, you know, how about Mike against Sue in this
one? All right, I'm ready. All right, go ahead. Sue, you want to go first?
Okay, A.
Buzz.
You've chosen A.
Now, this is one-on-one, meaning whatever Sue gets,
sudden death,
Mike must beat.
Right.
Guys.
Sue, the topic you have chosen is scabies. Scabies is an itchy skin condition caused by a tiny eight-legged burrowing mite called Sarcoptes scabiae.
I definitely have scabiae.
Let me see. Now, Mike.
Well, Don, even though you had a winner with A, I'm going to go with my old standby because I've had success with it, B.
Now, it's got to be funnier than scabies.
Got to be funnier than scabies.
Buzz.
B. The topic you have chosen is male hypogonadism.
Winner.
I'm all sorry, right. Sue.
Mike and I are on fire.
Anytime you have gonadism.
My God, wow. What a faggot I am. I just put my hand up like touchdown. Yes.
What is it called again, Buzz?
Let's
hear about it. Hypogonadism is the inability of the testicles to produce testosterone,
oh.
Sperm, or both.
See, it's not actually that funny an ailment, but it's a
funny name.
The condition is also known as testosterone deficiency.
All right, well, gosh, that's how we play the game, and sure I'm sorry that our listeners are the big losers,
yeah,
but...
Pretty funny melody, though.
Mike and I enjoy winning more than almost anything.
Hey, man, don't lay your male hypogonadism on me.
What a team.
We like eating. And we like winning.
Yeah, baby.
Good team.
Buzz, let me see. Rob, let's recap that little game.
Yeah.
Okay, well, do you want the Don and Mike round or is it the Don and Mike and Sue round?
Sue and then us.
All right, Sue had acne, bird flu, bed bugs, and in the bonus round, scabies.
Scabies. Now, really, she had a chance with scabies.
She did. That was a good B-plus answer.
Right.
On the other side, we have bad breath, barber's itch, bacterial vaginosis, and male hypogonadism.
God damn, you know what that is? That's the perfect game.
It is, and I've never even heard of that one. I mean, we've played this
the
game for a long time. Male hypogonadism.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Shakes, want to thank you. Great job over there, Buzz.
There you go, Buzz.
My pleasure. It's fun.
Thank you very much. Much Buzz on the WebMD.com site. Sue, sorry, me and Mike kicked your ass, so you owe us $100 now. that's the way we play the game on the Don and Mike Show.
How are you going to get that money to us, Sue?
I'm sorry?
How are you going to get the money to us?
I'd like mine.
Wait right there, and I'll bring it. I'll be right there.
I'd like mine and nickels, please. Sue, you have
I'll
won.
I'll be right there. I want you guys just to wait.
Darling, you have the original Star Wars trilogy on DVD. Bring home the Star Wars trilogy on DVD with the special bonus disc that includes the original theatrical versions of the movies. It's only available until December 31st. That's very Disney of Jordan.
That's great. Thanks a lot. It was fun.
Like the Little Mermaid out right now. Kiss my ass. Throw it back in the Disney vault.
Try it up.
Throw it in there with Frozen Walt and Frozen Ted Williams.
After the 31st, it's gone forever.
Sue, thank you for playing the game.
Hey, no, it was fun.
Thank you. Hold on, honey.
Okay.
Darn right, it was fun.
She was from Sacramento, Rob.
Boy, was she.
Yep.
Gonad fun. Well, it's just after 6 on the East. Just after 3 on the West. That means it's time for the Buzz News Hour.
Wonderful.
And he's back from his WebMD. There he is. Where were you? What are you doing?
Oh, I had to sit down to do the doctor thing, and now I've raised my chair to do the news thing.
He's fidgeting. That is his nickname.
Captain Fidget.
It's Fidget.
I had to run a mouse, you know, during the game segment, and now I don't have to run the mouse anymore.
Hey. So he's returned to his position.
Yeah. Right.
Anyway, we'll come back to that game again sometime soon. Thank you, Buzz, and we'll get the news. And I'm guessing you have more on Foley, right?
Yes, I do. Many of those things you just mentioned, we're going to talk about them more.
More on Foley.
Right.
Yeah, he's a victim of male hypogonadism.
Let me see. Got anything
probably
about
scabies, too.
Got any tapes about him?
And rectal itch.
Let me see. What do I got here? I got Dum talking about him, I think.
I was dismayed and shocked to learn about Congressman Foley's unacceptable behavior.
Okay.
He did that thing where he really enunciates it. Unacceptable behavior.
That was a bold statement.
What is this? Here's a former congressional page.
It didn't overtly surprise me to say, because there had been rumors about Congressman Foley of which the majority of my class were aware of.
And then here is one more congressional page.
Another page?
Another congressional page. God, these guys are coming out of the woodwork.
I'm crazy.
There he is.
That was the page that didn't have any answers.
I think we all know how that turned out.
Yeah. There you go.
I'm crazy.
There's the page. Just couldn't get a straight answer out of him.
Sounds like Clay Aiken.
Sure does sound like Clay Aiken.
Are you thinking you might want to have sex with me?
What? We'll be right back.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Cut the jibber jabber.
Most of the time, the listeners are wrong. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, time for Buzz.
Are you thinking you might want to have sex with me?
And the news show. Here we go. Hi there. How are you tonight, Billy Boy?
I'm well, Don and Mike.
We've been working him to death today, haven't we?
Good. I'm not tired at all.
I was waiting for him to talk there.
Me?
I was waiting for him to talk.
Yeah, me too.
Waiting for you to talk. I was waiting for the news to start.
I'm still waiting for him.
So it begins. He's back.
Buzz?
Yes.
Thanks, Rob.
Sorry about that.
This is Don. I have a question for you.
I knew there was something.
Is the news sponsored tonight?
Thank you, Mike.
Uh-huh.
It is. Brought to you by Hooters. Don't miss a minute of NFL Sunday ticket action. At Hooters has plenty of plasma TVs to catch your favorite games. Hooters brings you Buzz's news
tonight. Hi, Don and Mike. He's back.
Hi, Bob.
MAF54 logged on to his AOL account today.
Oh, no.
Even though he's supposedly in rehab for his, quote, alcohol and behavioral problems.
You're kidding me.
People did screen captures to prove that somebody signed into that account late this morning, either former Florida Republican Congressman Mark Foley or someone who's figured out his password.
Yeah, it can't be him. It cannot be him. He cannot be that stupid.
Then someone's guessed his password. A cyber sleuth, and there's a game right there.
Or that out of control.
How about cream?
A cyber sleuth.
How about hair?
Like them young. Cyber sleuths say Foley's logged on a number of times since the scandal first broke. It's the account and screen name he used in his chats with underage congressional pages. More male pages have come forward, by the way, to say they were warned about Foley 6 years ago. Let's talk about what Mark Foley's saying publicly today through his lawyer, David Roth, former frontman for Van Halen.
Mark does not blame the trauma he sustained as a young adolescent for his totally inappropriate emails and IMs. He continues to offer no excuse whatsoever for his
trauma. Shut up! Shut up!
As is so often the case with victims of abuse, Mark advises that he kept his shame to himself for almost 40 years.
Shut up!
That guy's got a tough job. We'll get to that claim, but first...
God, Jesus Christ, Jesus effing Christ!
Let's review. First, there was the claim of alcoholism. It's what celebrities say these days when they get into trouble. Trouble is, people familiar with Foley say he doesn't really drink.
So we're supposed to believe...
Oh, he doesn't drink now.
We're supposed to believe that he's a gay alcoholic who was fondled by a priest when he was 13.
That's what we're going over here, yeah.
Right.
Mr. Powers.
Right, that is stupid.
Now, granted, alcoholics are famous for trying to hide their addiction, but they're usually not very good at it.
Mike O'Meara.
Thank you very much. Not like Mike. Quoting someone who's known Mr. Foley for 25 years, I've never seen Mark inebriated. He was a social drinker at parties with a glass of wine, but Mark was always the consummate gentleman. And so now, Foley's lawyer brings forth that Catholic Mark was molested by a clergyman between the ages of 13 and 15.
Man, just
right.
Too convenient.
Yeah, blame it on a priest.
And while the molested often become molesters, Foley's lawyer says, quote, Mark is not a pedophile, end quote. The lawyer says he can make that claim because Mark never had sex with anyone under the age of 18. But ABC News cites an instant message exchange in which Foley fondly remembered visiting a boy in San Diego and... Now that's being investigated.
Oh, boy. They better be really careful about this because, I mean, really, all eyes are on them right now, and they're screwing up. I really think they're screwing it up, and the whole leadership is screwing it up, too.
That exchange, by the way, on the instant message indicates that both parties had happy endings during their San Diego meeting.
Oh, God. Well, you know, again, just to voice again what everybody in America is saying, Jesus effing Christ. One time, would one of these creeps that screws up, you know, at least the guy that stomped on the guy's face in the football game,
right,
stood up and said, hey, I screwed up, I made a mistake. He didn't go to rehab, he didn't say that he was stepped on the face by a Catholic priest when he was a kid.
Right.
He didn't say that he's an alcoholic, just said he's a jerk.
You know, he should just get on camera and say, open up the gates of hell and let me come in.
So
I am guilty.
You know, what would be the problem, really, with Foley not hiding,
right,
coming out and saying, hey, I lied to everybody
right,
all these years. Mm. You know, I like the baloney pony, and I have
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I am a deceptive F, and I deserve everything I get.
It isn't just about that. Of course, you mentioned the alcohol and the abuse, and now that brings us to the lawyer's assertion that Foley is, and I quote again, a gay man. Gay men are attracted...
He's a fag!
Gay men are attracted to gay men just as straight men are attracted to women. 15-year-old pages are not men. They're kids. People who go after them, gay or straight, are pedophiles or predators.
Right.
Are you thinking you might want to have sex with me?
We hope this clears up any confusion.
This is exactly one of those situations going on here,
Are you thinking you might want to have sex with me?
There's a box of
Who buys this? Hold on a second.
Exactly, who?
Really, at this point, who
buys this crap.
Well, I think nobody does, and his credibility is shot, and it's obvious through his lawyer, which is gutless anyway, that he's desperate right now, and he's saying he's trying to do. I mean, this is a guy obviously that has deceived everybody for a very, very long time, and he's still trying to do it.
But here's the thing, or has he? Because the more that I read about this, I see.
Oh, that's
that, you
true.
Know,
you mean whether the leadership knew about this?
Yeah. That now again, you've got Barney Frank.
Mm-hmm.
You can be gay.
Right.
You could be gay and you can
and not be a pedophile.
Yes.
Well, they said that when he was
served public office.
Right. They said that he was up for the Senate seat in Florida. And because I guess they were going to ask questions about his sexuality, he didn't choose to pursue that and didn't want to come out at that time. So, you know, that's the way he was. That was his comfort zone.
But, I mean, excuses offered so far just don't hold water.
Yeah, what they're saying is that people knew that he was gay. Okay. And the people also knew there was something going on with the pages. That's okay. Right. And then I saw one asswipe congressman or senator today get on TV and say, I think it's time we do away with the entire page system.
Yeah, there's been talk
like,
of that.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, why educate kids in the ways of government because you got some sicko
yeah,
in there.
Yeah, some guy wants, oh, forgive me, I'm an alcoholic. I was touched by a priest. Why don't you just say it was a recessed memory like Roseanne Barr?
Well, that's probably what it's going to be. You
know,
creepy. There hasn't been any evidence presented about
you
it yet.
You creepy pedophile. And Jesus
ending
Christ.
The page program would be like throwing the teenager out with the bathwater. You don't, he wouldn't
so
want
to speak,
that.
Buzz. Yes.
Right, yeah.
Interesting analogy.
Speaking of clearing up confusion, semi-retired pro wrestler and Renaissance man Mick Foley has issued the following statement.
Oh, I'm glad he has because I bet a bunch of people.
And I quote.
Okay.
America, I am not a pedophile. I'm a pro wrestler. You're thinking of Mark Foley.
Thank you. Thank you, mankind. I started
He's a funny
that,
guy, though. He's a guy. He's joke. Pretty hip. He's on top of it.
Please, 3 days ago, I started making that joke.
Please stop sending me nasty emails. I don't even have AIM. Thank you for your understanding. Sincerely, Mick Foley,
wow.
a.k.a. Mankind, a.k.a. Cactus Jack, a.k.a. Dude Love. Don't read anything into the Dude Love thing. It's just a nickname, I swear.
Wow.
End
however,
quote.
However, I would say, as I said to Mick Foley, the many times we've had him on the show, you know, read one of his books.
just one.
And tell me if you don't think he might have a little Foley in him.
A little bit of an issue?
A little bit of the other. Well, that one, that Antium book, that Antietam. Yeah, the one about the Civil War.
I have a question.
Baseball, a very homoerotic.
Where is Axel on this?
Axel Rose. I think I had that the other day, too, from Beverly Hills.
Oh, did you really? You had that
I
one?
I think I did.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And, Rob, you know I love the Crazy Frog mix on that.
Julia's favorite song.
Rob, I know Rob had Dave the other day.
Bad nigga.
Like right when the scandal first broke.
Right.
Yeah, Foley catheter.
Right.
There you go.
It all works.
Everybody plays the
sure.
game.
Oh, but wait, there's more. On a smaller scale, but intriguing nevertheless, the case of a state senator in West Virginia. And the photograph of him and some other guys wearing nothing but body paint.
Incredible!
Hello.
Randy White is now considering pulling out of his re-election campaign.
Let's play Cowboys and Indians.
They don't often pull out, do they?
Now that the photos, which he says were stolen from his personal computer, have turned up on local television. He says he and his family are praying about it, whether to stay in the race. The pictures are from White's past, which in this case is 2 years ago.
Couldn't give a jabba.
What Condoleezza Rice did or didn't know. Maybe we'll settle that when we return.
Well, let's pray on it.
Yes.
Play. Yeah.
Let's pray on it.
Play the piano, Condi.
Indeed.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike. Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show. They are the codeine in your cough syrup. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Oh, boy. Do I like being a grandpa? I really do. I was just on the phone with my daughter during the commercials. She's out at some park somewhere in Minneapolis with the kids because the weather is above 60 today.
Wow.
So that's
Won't
warm.
Won't be for long out there.
That's warm for Minneapolis.
Yeah.
And I said, listen, I got to go. I'll talk to you. And it was like, you guys want to say hi to grandpa? And you know what? Hi, grandpa. I hang up the phone. I said to both Mike and Rob, I said, I love that.
You love being a grandpa.
I do. And I love the fact that it's gone from Grandpa Mike. Now it's just, I'm the number one grandpa.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
We do. You know, if my kids ever have kids someday, you know what I'm really looking forward to saying is Grandpa?
What's that?
What? How's that? Huh? Speak up.
Anyway, I like that. Hey, here's Buzz.
Hi, Donald.
Poor Buzz, who will never know.
Never know the joy.
Never know the
grandchildren.
Baron.
I mean, they're out there somewhere. I just don't know them.
Baron von Buzz.
Actually, the story isn't entirely about what Condoleezza Rice did or didn't know before 9/11. The story is about the credibility of Bob Woodward's book accusing the Bush administration of misleading the country about the level of violence in Iraq.
And also, excuse me, Buzz, but...
Yes?
Doesn't it just strike anybody else as goofy that I am a grandpa?
It's hard to adjust to that idea, yeah.
I feel the same way about you being a grandpa as I did when the late Mike Douglas announced he was a grandpa years ago.
It's impossible.
Thanks, Mike.
I said, too young.
Forever young.
Too young. Because, I mean, he was a grandpa way back when.
Mike Douglas.
Like, even before his show was in color.
I think everybody feels that way, Mike.
Yes, of course.
He's the only white man that ever made me moist. Anyway, you know. Love being a grandpa. Didn't think I would, just thought I'd jump in with that.
You're a young, vital grandpa.
Just got off the phone with my daughter.
Not many guys are grandpas at your age.
Love talking to those kids.
Yeah. Most people that are grandpas at your age come from other states.
And dare I say, I'm now the number one grandpa.
Very proud.
What a dick I am. It's a good thing they can't hear this. What a dick I am. I'm the number one grandpa.
Well, you know what you're doing? You're bursting with pride.
I am. They're good kids.
Even in this, you're competitive.
Mm-hmm.
The Bob Woodward
That's
book.
That's right, Gonad. Or whatever that thing is that won us that title, Mike.
Hey, we've all forgotten it already.
Yes.
Male lack of gonadism.
Male hypogonadism.
Yeah, that's right.
And, next year, we should all get in the Fantasy Grandpa League. And we can see really who's the best.
Very good.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, the Bob Woodward book was called into question and its credibility over the story of a CIA warning to Secretary Rice in July of 2001. She said she didn't remember any such warning and that she probably would if it had happened. Today, White House records show that it did happen on July 10th, 2001.
Oops. Wow.
So today the book is a little less in question. By the way, intelligence officials say it would be hard to forget that meeting in July. They call it scary. A 10 on a scale of 1 to 10.
You know, they're going to go after her, or go after this book, I should say,
right.
And then they're going to pull back, because I really think this guy has done exhaustive research, and he knew this was going to come,
sure.
And so he's I think he's bulletproof on this.
And one of Don's favorite people, and a question about that person, is North Korea's Kim Jong-il bluffing?
Baby.
Is he bluffing, or does he have nuclear weapons? He says he wants to make a point about his military capability. And he says he'll be testing one of his nuclear weapons soon because
Bobby Lee has
just been so hostile towards communism lately. The U.S. brought this up at yesterday's U.N. meeting, calling the Korean leader's rantings a serious threat. Japan has already said it will react sternly if Kim Jong-il goes ahead with his nuclear path. China has no comment.
No comment. No comment.
This You're right, though. He is one of my favorites.
I know.
Although this weekend, am I going to get a double thing of a huge buttered popcorn. Forrest Whitaker is Idi Amin.
Yeah, looks good, yeah. Doesn't it?
Really, I mean, really.
I think he's getting fabulous reviews,
it
too.
It does look great. And Forrest Whitaker, even with that weird marble eye that he's got,
right.
He does have the mannerisms of Big Daddy...
Amin.
Right. And I hesitate to call him that because so many football players were called Big Daddy, like Dan Wilkinson was Big Daddy for a while, but I forgot. It all started with Idi Amin.
Well, the fact that he was an insane dictator, that little crazy eye, kind of works for Forrest.
Anyway, the ads look great, and the reviews look really good.
Right.
Idi Amin.
And I'm always a big fan of Idi Amin. Like, I'm a big fan of Kim Jong-il.
You know, he's very politically active, and I had a chance to meet him one time, and I wanted him to... I think he should actually try some office. I told him that one time. I said, run, Forrest, run. I don't know why I said that. You know, I really tried so hard.
I saw him one time at Yellowstone.
Really?
Really, I did.
Yeah.
But I couldn't see the forest from the first.
Thank you. Thank you for doing that instead of playing the crickets. I really appreciate that.
You know, for either one.
Yeah.
At least, yeah.
They both deserve that.
That one's for you, and
man.
That one's for me, and that one is This one is for whatever you're thinking of.
I was going to say a word.
Oh, no, that's not even fair.
If I self-edit myself and I don't do a joke about Steve and Edie.
Okay, hold on.
Preemptive cricket.
Suck that one in.
You asked for it.
You bastard.
I don't know about you, but to me, nothing says strip club like Salt Lake City, Utah. That's our story when we return.
All right, thank you, bud.
Number four, Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt.
Oh,
it's all been so incredibly fascinating. And entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Are you thinking you might want to have sex with me?
Simply put, the only way to hear Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara is to listen to Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Look out!
Bobby Big One. Hi, Bobby.
Hi, Don and Mike. Sure, granted, there's a gentleman's club in Salt Lake City, Utah called American Bush. But the truth is, the law requires the dancers to wear G-strings and pasties. The law was passed 5 years ago for most of the usual reasons and one unusual reason.
Should we call them C-strings or P-strings?
I would think so.
I'd be all right with that. Well, the one unusual reason for the law.
V-strings.
V-strings.
That's the medical term.
That's right.
The usual reasons and one unusual reason to prevent the spread of STDs.
Like male hypogonadism.
Exactly. The dancers protested in court and lost. This week, the U.S. Supreme Court refused to hear the case. But the show goes on. American Bush is still packing them in every Friday night. And a new place with total nudity has just opened just outside of town.
Fancy digs you got here.
Finally, thanks to the implants, 24-year-old Elena Marinova of Sofia, Bulgaria, was a 40 double D.
Oh!
At least she was when she got behind the wheel of her car the other day. After the accident, not so much.
Oh, dear.
Those big fluid-filled bags in her chest may have saved her life. Quoting the responding officer, they absorbed the impact. They worked just like airbags, protecting her ribs and vital organs from damage. Of course, the officer points out that breast implants are not a wise substitute for airbags. They're not as safe, he says, because they exploded.
Eee.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Loaded breasts,
yeah.
What a great way to end.
Hey, tomorrow we got to talk about our disproportionate breast contest as well. I can do that before the end of the week. We got to fly. We're running late today. Got to get out of here. Send this one out to Mary O'Mara.
Along comes Mary.
Because Mike was just talking about his mommy to us. We'll see you tomorrow. Good day to you, sir.
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 Thank you, WebMD. How about you, Kong?
What do you got for scabies?
We got male hypogonadism.
That's a deal.
See you tomorrow.
Baby.
Number four, Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.